It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It's a day after prayer meeting Wednesday, but it's kind of a miracle. I've got clothes on. Yeah, no naked radio this evening. It's all of 70 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios, not being a sauna at the moment. The big old storm front blew through. It's rained since last night. Didn't get to go outside and cook anything today because it blew hard enough. I didn't feel good about putting the canopy up, but never mind. It's pleasant in here. It's downright enjoyable. It's comfortable. And so not quite as much of a soul-training experience as the last couple of weeks have been. Although, you know, I confess, I love that heat. I do love that heat. Here we are. Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn, the 23rd day of July, 2020. Hi, I'm Bob. If you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that many people use to augment their live listening experience, well, run over to headon.live, click on chat room. If you've never done it before, pick a screen name and a password. Jump right into the conversation. Anatole's waiting, Jimmy's waiting, Roger's waiting, Squeaky's waiting. All happy to greet you upon your arrival. And, of course, moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although a third-stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space because apparently it's much more comfortable than it would be in if he did there fold space into the man cave. Yeah. You will also be moderated, by the way, by a pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Steve! Yeah. it's a nice... I mean, it's... gray and intermittent rain and more rain coming, but I think it was badly needed rain. You can't let the temperate rainforest dry out too much because I'm not comfortably well off, Ralphs, but I'm at least comfortable and wearing clothes. Not a lot, but then again, it's not something you want to think about in the dinner hour in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone to begin with. Oh, no. No, no. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And consequently, thanks go out this evening to our 23rd day of the month subscribers. That would be Stacy and Philip in Maryland and Reggie. Thank you, Reggie. And our buddies at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Thank you. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and making this little effort at independent, liberal, progressive, whatever, conversation, commercial-free, possible over the years with your kind gifts. Thank you. Where do we stand as far as fundraising is concerned? Well, we're at $400. That means we've taken care of Monday and Tuesday, and we've got yesterday and today to handle. And it would be great if we could knock that out and not have to worry about any community-made miracles for Friday on the front porch. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. If you would like to be a subscriber, gosh, we'd love it if you were. if you would join the merry little band that gives up less than a half a stick of Wrigley's chewing gum for every program, that would be wonderful. All you have to do is go over to headon.live. It's right there on the main page. Unless you want to do Patreon, then you got to click contribute. And that'll take you to the Patreon link. Patreon contributions come out at the first of the month. PayPal's come out whenever it is you sign up. So this being Thorn in the Side Thursday, where do we go? Well, I was up, you know, 1:30. Agnes and I watching various and sundry things on the telescreen. And I got a note from Sparky saying things were getting interesting in Portland, so I switched over and watched some of that. Of course, I didn't stay up till 4, because that's what time the shit really hits the fan every night in Portland. You know, this being the Eastern Daylight Time Zone and them being in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone, you know. But it did, again. It was a night-long game of the little green goons coming out and lobbing tear gas grenades, and then people with people who love democracy, people who love America, responding with leaf blowers to blow them back. You look at this and you wonder, where does it end? How does it end? But it's frustrating, to say the least, to see unalloyed fascism trying to take root in this country and knowing that it's going to continue until the person behind it is stopped. And our first chance to do that comes on November 3rd, and then we have to see what it'll be if we can just get Joe Biden elected. See what it takes to make sure that he exits. And I don't care if he attends Biden's inauguration or not. I'd just as soon he didn't. But it's going to take a lot of fortitude to get from now to then. Yeah, I do, Flavio. Flavio says, you like the heat, huh? He says, you can come over to La Crosse County tomorrow. Heat index readings of 115 degrees Fahrenheit. Real toasty. Yeah, I like it. Can't, you know, you gotta be smart about it, but, it infuses me with energy and good vibes and positivity and happiness. And then it gets all rainy and gray like today, and I'm like, you know, I turn into fucking Eeyore. Thanks for noticing me. Yeah. So where do we begin with this Thorn in the Side Thursday? Well, we've got a veritable cavalcade of Karens. So I thought we'd check that out. The shit show will be coming along at some point this afternoon, so we can look forward to a little hilarity in that regard. No, not really hilarity. The mad babblings of a fascist idiot, more like. Now, they're saying it's live now, is it? Don't know. But I do. I've got the cavalcade of Karens. And then I've got a story. Okay, now people are just aiming their cameras. He's not there yet, so... let's mute. Okay, so that won't... Good. Instead, let's try out the cavalcade of Karens, shall we? Yeah. Because this is some world-class crazy. I mean, I thought I had them all sorted out. And then Agnes sent this one along to me. Some of this stuff is simply breathtaking, but the neat thing is that people are figuring out that when they go to the store now, they may as well just go ahead and turn on the video camera on their phones, because there's a good chance that something crazy is going to happen if there happens to be a maskless white woman somewhere in the immediate vicinity. And there was no doubt about that. Now, a long time ago, you remember that Family Swap reality show where the one woman was like this hyper evangelical nut job? And she was screaming about the money they were going to be paid. She was a, what was it? She was a God warrior. That's what she was, a God warrior. Trading Spouses was the name of the program. It was over on Fox. Yes, I'm a God warrior. Let's pick up in medias res.
What?
Dork salad!
Not of God. It's not Christians. Did you not ask if she believed in God? She's not a Christian.
She could be a Jew and believe in God.
It doesn't matter. She's tampering in dark sided stuff. Yes, yes, she did. The entire house is dark sided.
Ouija boards.
She is dark sided too.
Why are you mad at us?
This is my house. I want no money. I want nothing. I want my God and I want my family.
Yeah, now the backstory to that is she went on to take the money and God took a hike. But I thought of that immediately when I saw this video. Some grocery store somewhere. I confess I don't have the particulars on it. But my God, well, I probably shouldn't put it that way, should I? No, I know. Get the hockey puck.
I command you, in Jesus Christ's name, get off this island.
Really?
Get off. Get off. Back off. You need to leave. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. No. Back off. Get off this island. You are a demon. Get off this island and find something.
Now, she's all up in people's faces, including a worker there at the store, telling them to get off this aisle. I don't know if she thinks she's been transported into the grocery store version of Survivor. I know, Flavio. Red rum, red rum, red rum.
Really?
Everybody's wearing masks except the Christian lady, who's demanding that people get out of the aisle in Jesus' name.
That's right! Till I can buy something and then I will happily leave! I rebuke you all and cast you into the lake of fire in Jesus Christ's mighty name!
You know, that stuff gets people clapping in the Gospel Tabernacle and Herpetological Seminary Sanctuary, but not so much there in the grocery store.
Let's stay off this aisle and try to buy something. Have respect for Jesus Christ's saints. I try to get off this aisle and try to buy something.
Because, see, they're trying to get her out of the store because she won't wear a mask, and she won't get off this aisle until she can buy something. And this is just the beginning. Like I said, it's a cavalcade today. Dork-sided!
What is wrong with people? Like, is that the way you think you're really going to get your message across?
I don't understand what is happening.
She doesn't want to go down the aisle until she can get what she wants and leave the aisle.
Jesus Christ!
So she's rebuking everyone that enters the aisle.
Rebuking. Yeah, rebuking. Rebuking. As I mentioned yesterday, there was one that I left out because the woman exclaiming that masks don't work because you can smell a fart even though people are wearing pants. The intellectual heft of these maggots is nothing short of amazing. Then there's Camping Karen. Yeah. She doesn't like having Latinas at the lake with her. Whoever tweeted this said, "Esa mujer blanca está loca." I think that's this white woman's crazy.
Do you ever look at someone and wonder what is going on inside their head?
But we'll try it again. Hopefully I'm back. Okay, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Yeah, I'm back. Back to Billable Rick's note. With these red hat wearing COVIDiots who complain about having to wear masks, mask holes at the grocery store, any store will do. The various stores and places where this happens all blend together. At least the Karens you played tonight didn't drop trow and urinate all over the store like one Karen did recently at a Verizon store in California. Where are the people wearing white with butterfly nets when you need them to stop all of this Karen madness? Where are the cops? Where are the cops? Well, in many cases, they do eventually show up. But it's kind of funny. I remember way, way, way back in college reading a Beat era poem. And the title of it was if I recall correctly. At a supermarket in California. A poem by Allen Ginsberg. You know, Ginsberg was much more famous for Howl. But this was in the anthology for, I think, my Modern American Literature class. And I just ask you to think about Ginsberg's words here as we ponder COVID-19 in 2020 and the behavior of the Karens, or as I prefer to call them, the Kayleys. What thoughts I have of you tonight, Walt Whitman? For I walk down the side streets under the trees with a headache, self-conscious looking at the full moon. You know, they say a headache is one of the first signs of COVID-19. In my hungry fatigue, that's another one of those symptoms of COVID-19. It's almost like there's a warning. We were watching an episode. Agnes had never watched Enterprise, so I enjoy rewatching with her. And we caught an episode in season two last night where a sickness was passing through the ship. Don't want to spoil it for anybody. I mean, the program's only 19 years old. But the onboard doc started reeling off viral symptoms. And it was like a message from the past, warning us about our present. But what thoughts I have of you tonight, Walt Whitman, for I walk down the side streets under the trees with a headache, self-conscious, looking at the full moon. In my hungry fatigue and shopping for images, I went into the neon fruit supermarket, dreaming of your enumerations. What peaches and what penumbras! Whole families shopping at night, aisles full of husbands, wives in the avocados, babies in the tomatoes, and you, Garcia Lorca, what were you doing down by the watermelons? I saw you, Walt Whitman, childless, lonely old grubber, poking among the meats in the refrigerator and eyeing the grocery boys. I heard you asking questions of each. Who killed the pork chops? What price bananas? Are you my angel? I wandered in and out of the brilliant stacks of cans following you and followed in my imagination by the store detective. We strode down the open corridors together in our solitary fancy-tasting artichokes, possessing every frozen delicacy and never passing the cashier. Where are we going, Walt Whitman? The doors close in an hour. Which way does your beard point tonight? I touch your book and dream of our odyssey in the supermarket and feel absurd. Will we walk all night through solitary streets? The trees add shade to shade, lights out in the houses. We'll both be lonely. Will we stroll dreaming of the lost America of love past blue automobiles in driveways home to our silent cottage? Ah, dear father, graybeard, lonely old courage teacher, what America did you have when Sharon quit poling his ferry and you got out on a smoking bank and stood watching the boat disappear on the black waters of Lethe? That was 1955. Berkeley. Some 65 years later, we've gone from that of contemplation inside a grocery store, and as Billable Rick says, any store will do, to this. In the name of Jesus, get off this aisle! Or because things are just that interesting and there's this weird connection to the universe and the goddess of irony. It was a week ago, I believe, that y'all educated me about a pizza chain. Brother Deacon Asa said they had it, and I think Sparky was the one who started the conversation, and maybe some of the Northwest contingent chimed in, and a few others. Well, this comes out of Kennewick, Washington, and Papa Murphy's, where a woman showed up, no mask, of course, blithering and blathering about her medical condition and her constitutional rights. It's in the Constitution! And demanding, by God, because it's in the Constitution, I get my pizza! Oh, God, I wear no mask. And so you get this.
Under the Constitution, we have the right to refuse service to anyone.
Let me tell you something.
You'll be all
now. That was one of the people behind the counter who said, it's in the Constitution. We have the right to deny service to anyone. At which point, this Karen, this privilege-soaked white woman, says, let me tell you something. I mean, she can't ask for the manager because I think that's the manager talking to her.
Online tonight, lady. You'll be all over the world.
Right to.
What's you want a pizza? Can someone give me a pizza?
You have a right.
Lunch,
you don't need a mask. This is an American Disability Act because I am hard of hearing.
Cool.
And I have a right
Roberts?
To speak my mind, and I have a right to see your lips because you do not, under any circumstances,
how about that? There's a constitutional right to see lips. Son of a gun, that must be one of those unenumerated rights in the 10th Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their lip-seeing shall not be abridged. Nope, that's not in there. Because the American Disability Act, that's what the OSHA.
Finally,
y'all should call the police.
Give me my pizza, and we'll both go.
Lady, you're getting close. Hey, you're too close to me. You need to back up. You need to back the fuck away from me, lady.
Good for the videographer. A little reality spoken there.
What?
What, Karen? What, Karen?
I don't give a fuck. Because I have a right to my pizza. I have a right to get my order. And I have a right...
If you get any closer to me, you're going to have a right on that floor.
And if you don't serve...
You get any closer to me, you're going to have a right on that floor. You get any closer to me, you're going to have a right across your mouth. And what would you, at this point in time, how is she, how are the cops not there? Because I guess somebody at corporate, because Papa Murphy's is corporate, said, well, you know, just let them rant for a while and spew their viral particles. Yeah, I agree with Steve in New York. Back the fuck up, Karen. You're going to have a right on the floor. Steve has awarded a cowbell. And I agree. But she's going to lecture because she's been to YouTube University and graduated MAGA Yell Loudly.
You got to get away from me.
Because I'll tell you what.
You don't leave, we're holding
if you continue with what you're telling me,
you have, you have the right.
I will.
You
will
to
No, you do not. I have a medical disability.
I don't care.
Now, mind you, this whole thing is taking place in a store that's largely empty. But rules is rules, right? Law is law. And yes, the governor of the state of Washington, the governor of the state of Oregon, the governor of the state of California, the governor of every state has a statute that says that they can act to protect public health in times of public emergencies. And all of these things have withstood constitutional scrutiny in the past. Smallpox outbreaks, polio. It's been all the way to the Supreme Court. Time, place, and manner restrictions are constitutional as long as they are rationally based and take the least restrictive alternative. So asking people to wear a mask when they go to Papa Murphy's is a hell of a lot less restrictive than, say, sending the little green goons to weld this woman into her home. Oh, it's already there, Steve. Steve says, wait for it. I got the HIPAA. I got the ADA. Oh, she's already cited the American Disability Act. I got the OSHA. I got that Constitution. You'd almost be tempted to feel sorry, but she's so obnoxious and so proud of her ignorance that it sucks all the sympathy right out of you. Well, I would, Flavio wants me to have a cowbell for graduated MAGA Yell Loudly, but I stole that one. I stole that one, and I freely admit it, and I just love it. So I'm glad you got a giggle out of it, too, Flavio. Jeremy in Vermont, who got us started, we're down to 395 to go, says, Bob, I'm sure it's in the Constitution that if your face is covered while taking orders at a pizza shop, that if you lip something and add it two or three to the bill, perfectly legal to charge the customer, even if they couldn't see you, lip it under your face covering. And none of this is accidental. Bear in mind, every time we have one of these things, you are witnessing someone who has been preyed upon by bad actors on social media. You know, on This Week Tonight, I caught some of that. John Oliver went to great pains to deconstruct that drop-dead, dirt, ignorant, phony baloney fakeumentary plandemic. And if you've got the opportunity, it's worth watching. But every one of these people who's blathering this, none of them are having, none of them are manifesting, none of them are speaking to original ideas. They are all parroting things that people with an agenda designed to harm this country. Have pumped into our body politic via social media. Steve wants to know in New York, why is it I never see these nut jobs? Damn, I'd savor that. Well, the universe doesn't want you to see them, Steve, because you'd probably enjoy it too much. Plus, you live in a state where people are largely taking this seriously, having watched literally tens of thousands of New Yorkers die of it. But because the bodies aren't stacked like cordwood outside Papa Murphy's in Kennewick, Washington, Karen here doesn't.
Well, go to my store.
Do you know the law of HIPAA? No, you don't either, lady. Well, if you don't give her your name, how are you going to know, they going to know that when your pizza's ready and they call you, what do you want them to do? Call your social security number? Jesus, these people.
You see how people are. Here you got another Karen, another privileged white woman. Excuse me, no offense to y'all, but this is Karen.
Give it to me right now. Wear a fucking mask. And of course, the entire time, and that's the point that I was making earlier, the entire time she's potentially spewing viral particles all over that store. And nobody wants to come around and just slap the snot out of her because viral particles. But you got to get her out of there because she is a public health hazard. She's a plague rat. And yet she goes on screaming and bellowing her ignorance. Now just give me my pizza. It ain't on the rack. I called it in. It's in the Constitution. Steve says, I love this camera guy. Yeah, well, you know, you don't want to over-comment it.
Y'all should just call the police.
There, that. Just call the police. Let them deal with her. She's white. They won't hurt her.
Why don't you just call the police? You know, I gotta say, just call the police. If I was screaming at you like that, I think the police would be here.
And he's absolutely right.
I'm just waiting on my pizza.
And I will take it.
Huh? Yes. Yes.
And she leaves the store.
Brown, light green dress. She is in a Ram 2500.
She's in a 3/4-ton pickup truck that cost every bit of $50,000. I know this because I wander around on car lots from time to time looking wistfully at pickup trucks. I haven't been the same since the pillhead took ours away from us. And it's breathtaking, the price of a pickup truck. Because they're so popular, you don't really see a lot of price droppage on them. So if you get yourself a Dodge Ram, just a half ton, you know, 1500 series, you get that thing loaded out with the Dakota Laramie Saddle Sore whatever package, that sucker can be $75,000. And I'm guessing this 3/4-ton version comes in at about $50,000. So it's not like she's going to starve to death without her pizza. But she sits at home flicking through Facebook, and all of her friends have this anti-mask bullshit on because people like her have been targeted through disinformation campaigns that Facebook absolutely refuses to do dick about. And so they're going to get people killed. Dave number 11 sent me a link earlier today to a website from Georgia Tech. And it's two-parted. And it's not dork-sided! You select the size of the group that you want to posit, say, 100 people. And then you can drill down on a county-level basis. And based upon present data, and it's constantly updated, it will tell you the percentage in a group of the size that you choose. The percentage chance that any given group of the size you chose will have of having at least one person with COVID-19 in the group. One spreader. One plague rat. I checked out my county and set the number for 100. And it said there was a greater than 46% chance that 1% of the people, 1 in 100, in any given group will have COVID-19. That's relatively low. It's not low enough to leave your mask at home, not low enough to walk around licking your hands. But I chose that 100 number because, you know, that's any given Sunday at one of the holiness tabernacles around here, where they sit all close together and they bellow and caterwaul their hymns to the uncaring heavens, and they spew all over each other and they hug and they LARP and they smolik. And then if you combine that with, like, say, the infection rate at COVID Act Now, say 1.4. That means that they're going to come out of that group meeting or that group gathering, and within a few days, there will be two people with COVID-19. Let's say they go back to church the next Sunday, there will be four. It gets real terrifying up in Monongalia County, Mon County, West Virginia, where I matriculated at Harvard on the Mon. And any group of 100 people in Monongalia County, West Virginia right now has a greater than 99% chance that there will be at least one person in a group of 100 who has the Rona. And that is damned well chilling. Chilling indeed. So this video goes on for a while longer. She's out in her car, and the videographer decides to go out and do some ID work in case maybe the police would like to question her about her not wearing masks, or if maybe somebody's called the police and just haven't showed up yet, and they take off. And then her husband, proving exactly what I said, that they just sit around scrolling through this mad bullshit, gets out and proceeds to lecture the videographer as he gets a really, really good high-resolution view of their license plate.
How you doing, brother?
All right.
Not bad.
Oh, do you hear that clatter? That ain't no $50,000 Dodge Ram 2500 pick-em-up truck. That's at least $60,000, because that's a Cummins turbo diesel, baby. Probably rolling cold. Clatter, 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 clatter. There it is, Washington. Washington plate 07374. He gets it real clear. And the driver of the clattering diesel pickup truck extends his middle finger at the guy shooting the video.
I have a First Amendment right.
Yeah, he's got a First Amendment right. It's in the Constitution.
Show me the law that says I have to. Show me the law.
So I let this video go on this long because if you want to be prepared, wherever you are, whatever state, just take a little bit of time and find your state code citation that empowers the governor of a state to take measures to protect public health in the time of a public health emergency. It's there. I'm 99.9% certain it's there for all 50 states and the territories. It's there. Because it is long, long established. Things like the ability to order a person with tuberculosis be hospitalized and kept isolated so as not to spread the disease. Now, that's a hell of a lot more restrictive than any damn mask, but it has been held constitutional all the way up to the Supreme Court of the new 90 states of Merca. But because our friend here, the videographer, does not have that Washington revised statute or what the hell ever committed to memory, he can't say, okay, dumbass, it's, and give him the number. Now I'm going to look up West Virginia's statute just so I can be ready.
Don't show me no letter. I don't want to see no reading and writing.
Yeah. So that's a Kennewick, Washington woman. There's something about Kennewick woman that sounds downright anthropological, doesn't it? Like something was dug up out of a... No. That's an insult to humans that were buried eons ago and found by archaeologists. If I was in the song parody business and a good musician, I would have to do a redo of the Beastie Boys. You gotta fight for your right to pizza. Oh, these people. But there we were talking about Papa Murphy's, and then bang, it happens. The shit show is going on, and he's babbling. Let's find out what.
Ever. And that went on for two or three days, and soybeans and all, but it just means much less to me. Can you understand that? just means much less to me. Please, go ahead.
What was the one thing, if there was one thing that changed your mind about the convention, and did Florida officials ask you to cancel it?
No, they didn't. We're dealing with them, but they didn't. I would just say safety. Just safety. I just, you know, I could see the media saying, oh, this is very unsafe. This is, I don't want to be in that position. It's safety, not because of the media, but that's what they would say. And we'll have a very nice something. We'll figure it out. It'll be online in some form. Maybe it'll be something even a little bit different. We have time. You know, we're talking about the end of August. But I think it'll be something.
He's going to have a big butt hurt sad out of this. He doesn't get to have his COVID party in Jacksonville, Florida.
25,000 people. We had a tremendous thing planned in a tremendous convention planned in North Carolina. And it would have been very good, but a much smaller version in Florida. But then we saw what was happening pretty quickly. We saw that the virus was coming up that coast. So,
do you think it's an acknowledgement of the severity of the situation in Florida?
No, I think it's going to come and go. It will. I mean, you take a look at some of these locations. We're heavily infected. I mean, to a point where Deborah and I were talking that,
Deborah,
you know, when you look at what happened in New York and what happened in New Jersey and other places, and now you're looking and it's gone. Hope it stays gone. I think it will. But we have to be vigilant. We have to be careful. And we also have to set an example. I think setting the example is very important. It's hard for us to say we're going to have a lot of people packed in a room and then other people shouldn't do it. Don't forget, we're talking about schools and we want them to be vigilant and we're saying open. And then we're saying, here you have a big room. But I also, if you notice, I said where bars are crowded, where other things are crowded. Well, there's nothing more crowded than a convention. A convention, I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah, a mega church.
And even though you try and keep people away from each other, it's just not that kind of a thing. They probably can't do that.
I mean, it's like him in a room full of underage girls at a beauty pageant. You can't keep him away from them.
Schools. Who want to reopen, if school wants to reopen but is concerned about testing, would you consider directing some of that money toward testing for either a school district or even individual schools if that's what it took to open the schools?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of people feel differently about testing. We talk about it a lot. When we have 50 million tests plus, and, you know, we broke the 50 million test mark, second in the world is India, which has one.
Doesn't matter, because the time that it takes to get the test results back means that people aren't quarantining, and by the time they get back a negative result, they could very well be positive. Jesus, the incompetence. Yeah. Steve pointing out, here's the executive order from Governor Cuomo. Now, therefore, I, Andrew M. Cuomo, governor of the state of New York, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the State of New York, hereby find pursuant to Section 28 of Article 2B of the executive law that a disaster is impending. In addition, this declaration satisfies the requirements of 49 CFR 390.23A1A, which provides relief from parts 390 through 399 of the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations. Further, pursuant to Section 29 of Article 2B of the executive law, I direct the implementation of the State Comprehensive Emergency Management Plan. It's all constitutional. And that's just New York State. Like I said, it has been given attention as well by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court holding that time, place, and manner restrictions and regulations are completely legal. And it's not even a gray area. This is settled law. Repeatedly decided by the Supreme Court of the United States. Nonetheless, Honesdale, Pennsylvania, via WNEP, a woman shopping in the Walmart there walked up to two men in the store and asked them to put on masks. One man put on his mask. The other, identified later by police as Evan Spangenberg, decided that he wanted to tell the woman all about, the ADA and the HIPAA and the OSHA, and it's in the Constitution. And so she turns around, goes to the customer service rep, and asks for him to call the police, and he spat in her face. And we all know how he votes, don't we? Of course we do. Of course we do. And so, New York state courts have ruled, but more particularly, all the way back to 1905, the Supreme Court of the United States in Jacobson versus Massachusetts said that a requirement for smallpox vaccinations in Cambridge, Massachusetts was entirely constitutional. Jacobson, who was suing, the court said that Jacobson's right to liberty, or the inherent right of every freeman to care for his own body and health in such way as to him seems best, was not violated. In 1905, the Supreme Court wrote, "There are manifold restraints to which every person is necessarily subject for the common good. On any other basis, organized society could not exist with safety to its members." So there's another one to jot down. Jacobson versus Massachusetts, 1905, Supreme Court of the United States. And then there's a little something in the Constitution that's generally referred to as the police power. And that matters too. It absolutely matters. Dave number 11 says California's is codified in section 8550 of the California Code. And I like what Elbert in Rhode Island said. Some reporter needs to ask COVID Caligula about where his son Barron will be going to school. That might be a good idea indeed.
You could have literally quarter-mile tracks on top. It's a very big site, very wide site. So I think the best idea would be to build a new building, and that way you have it for a long time. Renovation can never be as good as a new building in that case. I know they're talking about it, whether or not they put it in this bill or someplace else, but the FBI needs a new building, and we'll get it done. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, yay, we managed to catch just a little bit of the stupidity, but missed a good bit of it. And so now, back to L.A., where a Postmates delivery man was bringing dinner to a resident, an occupant of an apartment building. And standing in the door was an obstreperous, cantankerous white woman. Maybe she's a descendant of the Dust Bowl Okies or something, who are in turn probably descendants of Appalachian people because of all that cantankerousness and obstreperousness. Sigh, says Kyle, this country's so fucked. Randy in PA says, "Now, Bob, what are you going to do with a pickup truck? Pick stuff up. At your age, you probably can't load the truck anymore." Hell, I can't. Got to remember, I've loaded lots of equipment in the back of a pickup truck back when we were doing, it was years ago, a few years ago, mind you, but back when we were doing the Prism, PRISM series on American history for Dr. Bill, there was a lot of equipment hauled. Get a Subaru hatchback and you can haul most small stuff. It's not the small stuff I need to haul. It's like junk. Stuff they won't pick up. But anyway, back to L.A., where the Postmates delivery man punches in the code to speak on the intercom to the person who gave him the code so that he can deliver her food. And this hateful woman is damned well determined that he will not complete his appointed rounds.
Okay, I'm glad I was so here. You're not going to let me in to deliver this food. I have the number.
Yeah, we don't like pictures.
I mean, I'm just...
No, don't point that shit at me.
I'm trying to...
Point that fucking...
I have food I have to deliver.
Yeah, so, you know, don't point that shit at me. Don't put that... Point that fucking... No, you're going on video, lady. You want to be an asshole, you're going on video.
Deliver to somebody, man.
Don't deliver anything here. We don't want your delivery.
You're not...
We don't want you.
You didn't get the
here.
Food.
I don't want you. I don't want you here. I don't want you here at all.
Excuse me, Paul, there's a woman, like, at the door. My name
Hello?
Is Jordan. I'm
Who
working in a place.
Who is this?
Excuse me, can you back away
this?
From me now?
No, I'm not this just, is my bill. I'm not going to back
I'm just
away
trying
from you. Like, who is this? Who's on the speaker?
Hello?
Yeah, who's on the speaker?
Ma'am, can you back?
Who's speaking? I live here in this building. Who is this?
Your food
Who
is...
Who is this?
This is Paul Morpheus. I'm in 212. I'm getting a Postmates delivery.
A Postmate delivery in 212? 212 where?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, where do you live, sir?
Now, bear in mind, the guy is using the intercom for the apartment building. And this hateful thing is now in the process of challenging the person who's in an apartment in the building as to whether they live in the building because a black guy is trying to bring food.
I live in 1395 Kelton Avenue.
You live in it or
do my job,
live,
please?
No.
You're not going to let me do my job.
I'm not letting this man in. Can I bring your food to you? I'm at the entrance.
Oh, so you want to bring the...
I'm at the entrance.
Man, she is the Becky of all Karens, isn't she?
To your building.
Who are you? Who is this?
I live here, asshole. And I pay rent here.
So I do too. So what are you asking?
I'm asking you to get out of my building because you don't live here.
I'm a black man. I'm trying to deliver. My mom is
I don't care if he's a purple
mom,
man.
I'm working for my mom.
Here.
Her name is Anna.
I don't care.
My name is Jordan. I'm trying to deliver
your
food.
Is,
she
said
she
doesn't
want me
out of the
here.
Building.
She doesn't want me near here. I just want to
deliver
the food.
I don't want him near here because
orders.
I don't know him and
I don't
want people buzzing him into my building.
I don't know how to do this for you, but
I don't want.
She's like in front of the door.
I can't.
Security
building.
Do right now.
I don't know him. I know everybody in this building. He doesn't live here, and he's not a delivery boy. He had no
boy.
Car, boy.
No bike. Nothing.
The car
he
that
is
I
not
pulled up in that way.
Domino's.
That's
he's
my wife.
Pizza Hut.
That's my wife.
She only allows Domino's and Pizza Hut to deliver to her building.
He's not a delivery. He is not a delivery service.
Yeah. Okay.
He didn't get out of a Lyft. He didn't get out of an Uber. He didn't get out of a car, a Mercedes, a Honda, anything.
Hello?
He's a black guy walking around who has a clicker to get into any building he wants to.
Okay.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, there are black guys walking around with clickers to get into any building they want to. You know, I think you call the police, but you say, I think we may have a mental health problem here. This woman is obviously just consumed by paranoia. I mean, to the point that it's ridiculous. And it's just another day in COVID America. And like I said, it's a real cavalcade of this crap. How about another Verizon incident where a guy went full on zombie banging against the glass of a Verizon store in Virginia? That's what this was. The man had been in the store, started flinging stuff around, left. They locked the doors. They called the police.
My representative is recording
everything
right now.
Let me on TV, because your product sucks.
Yeah.
Spits on the window.
CX-296-288.
Is that why your shit works? I'm glad your fucking shit works, because mine don't, you fucking nigger.
He just called my representative a fucking nigger.
Fuck you, goddamn bunch of nigger. Is that why his fucking shit don't fucking work? Yeah, come on and get some. Come on, boy. I'm ready.
Boy.
I want my shit fixed, man.
I've already called the police on him, but I just wanted you guys to know.
Fuck you!
Yeah, he's a racist. He just called me and my representative a nigger. Yeah, he called us anymore. No. Don't even talk to him, bro.
Don't even give him the opportunity.
No.
I'm trying to ask him what his name is.
No, I got him. I got his company on the phone. They're looking up his license plate. He already covered it up. It's too late.
Yeah, he's trying to cover it
up. I already got it. It's too late.
Now he's going to run. Full zombie.
He's going erratic. He's about to break the door. I don't know if you hear that.
Fucking asshole!
We've already called the police. That's the first thing we did.
That seems like a goddamn chimpanzee. Get on you, man. Fuck you.
His phone's not even working. That's the reason he's here.
Y'all should be fucking arrested.
Yeah, but he, from the beginning, he just came. The police are here now.
And naturally, he's wearing a red faded t-shirt with a American flag on the back.
And
And the cops pull up.
He spit on the door. He left his DNA. You know.
And so he walks up and starts screaming at the cop.
My representative has him on video calling us the N-word. So police is here now. Hopefully everything should be all right from here on out.
That's all.
Yeah. No, I figured it's not. No, I didn't.
And he stands there and continues to bellow at the county sheriff, the sheriff's deputy. He's waving his arms. And again, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that this is orchestrated conduct. These are people whose basic bigotries have been preyed upon by bad actors, foreign actors, seeking to cause chaos and division in this country in favor of the current occupant of 1600 Black Lives Matter Plaza. Jeremy with the woman in Los Angeles says, I'd leave this woman lying on the ground floor. I just have no patience for this shit anymore. Well, the delivery man was black, and he knew that he couldn't just bulldog past her. Plus, he didn't want it. She was already spewing at him, wearing no mask, and it could have provided even, and if he bulldogs past her, knocks her down, she says, oh, I'm hurt, the big black man. And the next thing you know, we got another LAPD shooting incident. Steve in New York pointing out, Mr. MAGA there is about to be on an unemployment, except his death yam has taken away his benefits. MAGA, y'all. Mm-hmm. Lee in New York pointing out, pizza's in the Constitution. I believe it was affirmed in the case of Marinara versus Arizona. That's why police have to offer you a slice before they take you in. And yes, there was a concurring opinion, Lee, that says they can take you alternatively. If you're not into pizza, they can take you to Burger King. Yes, as Steve says, I'm going to make a guess. The zombie at the door was, at the store was white. Oh, of course he was. That's why he was yelling that word with all the same letters as Ginger that isn't a couple of times. It, and then, of course, there's Illinois, where a guy trying to get in the door of what appears to be a convenience store isn't wearing a mask. And security comes to the door, and that's still not enough.
I don't care right now.
Security's wearing a mask. Everybody walking in and out of the store is wearing a mask.
It's not your building. It's not your store. Call the police. They're right there. Don't get in my face. Back up. Back up. You aren't nobody to tell me anything.
That ain't right there.
There's no law in this state about that.
Yeah, there is.
Who's back at it? Said who? Do you own this store?
Do you own this store?
You don't own it, so you don't tell me what to do. Said who? What? You know what? You're nobody.
You're nobody. I'm sorry, not Illinois, Colorado. My bad. No, it's either Colorado or Illinois. There's conflicting information here. MAGA in a camo hat, gray t-shirt, short pants, getting up in the face of a security guard wearing a mask who happens to be black and tells him, back up. He seems to think he's in Mississippi and that there's a step-off rule or an eyeball rule. And it's all by design. Megan says, definition of white privilege, that these folks are allowed to verbally abuse the public and not get shot by cops. Bingo. Oh, and thank you to Gary and again to Jeremy. That takes us down to 3:40 to go. Thank you very kindly. Steve says, if I were in the store, I'd say this. I may be nobody, but you're out there and I'm in here. Yeah, you may have been in New York too long. It's astonishing. Well, I wish it was astonishing how many of these there are. And we got more madness to get into, but there's one story in particular that I wanted to take a moment to address. And it comes from an editorial in USA Today. The editorial is by a woman from Oklahoma named Nancy Shively. And Nancy Shively is a special ed teacher. And what's more, being as how she's an Oklahoman, I mean, I know there are non-maggot Oklahomans, don't. But being as how she's an Oklahoman, odds are that she is a Republican. And in 2016, she admits in her op-ed today in USA Today that she voted for Joe Biden. She gives a fairly extensive description of herself. She says, I'm over 60 with two autoimmune diseases. But here's the phrase that caught me. She opens the piece by saying, I'm a special education teacher and lifelong Republican who reluctantly voted for Donald Trump in 2016 as the less bad of two bad choices. Let's start there. That tells you about all you need to know about Nancy Shively. Now, this woman is probably even a member of whatever the Teachers Association is in Oklahoma. And you may recall a couple of years back that they went on strike. And yet they still have a Republican government. Somehow or another, and it's not somehow or another, it was the result of a coordinated campaign by people like Mika Brzezinski, Maggie Haberman, the New York Times generally, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Gannett Newspapers, and practically every so-called mainstream multimillionaire outlet of mass media in this country that created a narrative, along, you know, with aided and abetted by people like Trey Gowdy and Paul Ryan and Louis Gohmert and Steve King and the rest of that filthy House Republican caucus and the equally filthy Senate Republican caucus, who participated in a 25-year-long campaign to trash Hillary Clinton. And I know there are even people on our side who still think that, you know, she's the devil. But she wasn't. And we have topped 140,000 people and 4 million cases, and that is probably an undercount, in this pandemic, largely because of what happened in 2016. Hillary Clinton was not the worse of two bad choices, as Nancy Shively says she was. I'm a special education teacher and lifelong Republican who reluctantly voted for Donald Trump in 2016 as the less bad of two bad choices. She knew that he had been credibly accused by 20-plus women of things between rape and sexual abuse. She knew that he had admitted groping and fondling women on tape. She knew that he was a stone-cold racist because the first thing he did was to go after Mexicans. And she was okay with that. She's a special ed teacher. And she saw him mock a disabled person on camera and said, well, at least that's better than that woman with her emails. But now, she's having second thoughts, Nancy Shively is. She said, when the pandemic hit, the incompetence of the man for whom I had voted and the complicity of everyone around him forced me to admit that I could no longer maintain any kind of self-respect as a Republican. I'm not sure if she recognizes that she was complicit too, because she cast a vote. So even though I had voted Republican in every presidential election since 1976, that means she voted for Gerald Ford over the Baptist Sunday school teacher, Jimmy Carter, because I'm sure she's a Christian. She voted for Ronald Reagan twice. She voted for George H.W. Bush twice. She voted for Bob Dole. She voted for W. And used her vote to become complicit in the slaughter of a million Iraqi non-combatant civilians. She voted for W. again, even after he'd done that. She voted for John McCain, even though he'd not nominated a crazy lady as vice president. She voted for Willard Romney and his binders full of women. And then she did what she had always done and voted like a good little Republican in 2016. But she's over it now. I changed my voter registration to independent, and I will be voting for Joe Biden in November. Well, good for you, Nancy. It's never dawned on Nancy Shively that every Republican vote she cast since 1976 has led us to this particular and explicit moment. It wasn't just her presidential votes. She voted for a woman for governor of Oklahoma whose daughter ran around the country mocking Native people, wearing war bonnets on stage. She's voted repeatedly for a senator who stood in the well of the Senate and declared that the presence of snow in January in Washington, D.C. was proof that there's no such thing as climate change. But now by God, she's had a change of heart. She says she'll be voting for Joe Biden in November, but then she tells us why. Nevertheless, I'm still haunted because deep down, I fear that with that vote, I may have signed my own death warrant. Those million Iraqi civilians didn't matter worth dick to her. The children in cages under this administration? Nope. The mocking of a disabled reporter, journalist, that's not it either. Suddenly, Nancy Shively has skin in the game. I fear that with that vote, I may have signed my own death warrant. I live and teach in a small Oklahoma town. It's not far from the site of President Trump's Tulsa campaign rally on June 20th, that appears, as common sense would have predicted, to be a super spreader event. Maybe I'm being too hard on Nancy Shively. Maybe we should cut her some slack. Because at least she acknowledges that the threat is real. At least she's not standing in a pizza joint hooting about, "It's in the cut the tooth in. I got the HIPAA and the Rona and the COVID and the scabies and the rabies and the flu." She's learned what super spreaders are. About 2 weeks after the rally, Tulsa County reported a record high number of cases. "I'm over 60 with two autoimmune diseases. This outbreak has me worried as it is. Now, with the prospect of schools reopening in a few short weeks, I am terrified." Nancy Shively, it seems to me, the author of this USA Today op-ed, is the perfect modern example of what Martin Niemöller wrote. First they came for the communists, but I was not a communist, so I did not speak out. Then they came for the socialists and the trade unionists, but I was not one of them, so I did not speak out. Then they came for the Jews, but I was not Jewish, so I did not speak out. And when they came for me, there was no one left to speak out for me. That was 1946, when the German Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller published that. It was an excoriation of the German intellectual class in the face of the rise of a fascist, murderous madman. First, the Republicans slaughtered Iraqis. First, they slaughtered Afghans. Then they slaughtered Iraqis. But I was neither Iraqi nor Afghani, so I did not speak out. Then they put the children in the cages, but I didn't have any children in cages, so I did not speak out. But now, my ass is in a sling, and I am terrified. One young teacher I know, she continues, has chronic kidney problems and is at high risk for complications if she contracts COVID-19. She can't quit her only source of income. Taking its cue from our governor, who hosted Trump's rally and is now tested positive for COVID-19 himself, her school district has announced that wearing a mask will be optional, though the state is considering requiring it. Her only choice right now, she told me, is to increase her life insurance and hope for the best. That's not a choice. That is our government failing us. And by God, Nancy Shively has been there all along the way since 1976 to make sure government failed them. She's been a loyal member of a party whose leading lobbyist declared that he wanted to make government so weak that you could drown it in a bathtub. She watched the bodies float in the fetid, filthy waters of the aftermath of Katrina and voted Republican again. Our country, she says, has long devalued and underpaid teachers, refusing to adequately fund the public schools that support our democracy. Yes, Nancy, yes, water, it has a name. And you've been right there voting for him. As the Republicans refuse to adequately fund the public schools. You've empowered them, Nancy. Why? What was it about the Democratic Party, which I'm sure you refer to as the Democrat Party, that made it impossible for you to actually vote in favor of those special needs children you teach? Why did you vote Republican like you did? All along the way. How many hours of Rush Limbaugh do you suppose Nancy Shively has listened to? How many? How many nights has she sat glued to the screen, maybe grading papers after hours, as Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or Laura Ingraham or Tucker Carlson or any of an entire goddamned regiment of right-wing hate mongers pumped filth into the air as she nodded, yes, yes, Lord Jesus, yes. How many times has she perhaps said, I vote pro-life, while at the same time voting for people who do things like cut food stamps? How many times has she done that, do you suppose? Now the government is turning to us to risk our health or possibly our lives during a pandemic. My school district has no mask mandate and two nurses for more than 2,400 students in five school buildings. How is that going to work? Well, it's not going to work, Nancy, because you have spent your entire adult life making sure it wouldn't. You are not living in an isolated moment in time. It is part of a flow dynamic that you've participated in each and every time you went to the polls. Every time you sat in the pews and heard some half-ignorant gospel sharp braying about the precious little fetuses, you have participated. I read this thing and my blood boiled. It really is as if she thinks that she's writing in a vacuum. Officials from the president down to the local school board are kicking this can down the road, pretending it will all be okay. It's just like it says on their license plates out there. Oklahoma is okay. Teachers know it won't. For Trump and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, who have little to no experience in our public schools, to preach to career educators about the benefits of children being in school is not only unnecessary, but downright insulting. Well, I'm glad you're finally insulted, Nancy. Welcome to the waking world. Of course our kids need to be in school, and teachers want to be there with them. For most of us, it's not only a profession, but a calling. However, it needs to be done safely. With the status quo as it is, that cannot be done in most of the country, and we need to stop pretending that it can. Ah, you tell them, Nance! Damn. She takes apart, as we have here, the ignorant and bloodthirsty notion that children won't get the disease, and if they do get it, they won't pass it. Or that they only die once in a while. She asks, are we willing to take the chance of that child bringing home a deadly virus to possibly the one stable, loving adult in their lives? Yes, they're willing to take that chance. It's just like Lord Farquaad says in Shrek. Some of you may die, but that's a risk I'm willing to take. That's Trump. Then we get the obligatory paragraph about the salt of the earth Oklahoma teachers. As tough as they come. Not tough enough to make hard decisions and vote the right way, though. Some have sheltered their students as a tornado ripped the school building from over their heads. Most of us would do anything to help our students succeed. Now the man I gambled on to be president is asking us to risk our health and our very lives. The odds are most definitely not in our favor. Wonder how many times out in Oklahoma, Nancy Shively, Republican, loyal Republican, voting Republican in every presidential election since 1976... wonder how many times she's contacted her elected representatives at either the state or the federal level to demand that there not be another Sandy Hook Elementary. I wonder if maybe there's a record out there of whether Nancy Shively supports arming teachers. I wonder how she voted in 2018. Because this smells an awful lot like something that only dawned on her when she figured out that she was next up the stairs to be laid bare back over the altar, the blood-soaked altar to Mammon and Holy Prophet, for whom Donald J. Trump is high priest. What do you think the chances are? Reckon maybe she's married to an NRA member? Got that bumper sticker, I'm NRA and I vote. Because the odds on all of this are higher that those things are true than that they are not. Lee in New York says, Nancy Shively, by voting for a Democrat, she signed her death warrant? I guess she doesn't. No. By voting for a Republican, by voting for Trump, she says she signed her death warrant. And that's why she's going to vote for Biden now. And I guess I'm supposed to sit here and say, well, yay, good. And I'm supposed to give it the prodigal son treatment. You know, where you ignore the 99 sheep to go and save the one that's lost. Or that when the or when the prodigal returns, that you kill the fatted calf in a big party for them, while all the people who have done the right thing all these years just get ho hum. But yesterday was prayer meeting, and there's a line out there that says, and in the time to come, they will cry, Lord, Lord, and I will hear them not. I wonder if anybody ever preached that to Nancy Shively there in the pews. Because see, that business about how she voted for every Republican in every presidential election since 1976 is supposed to establish her Republican bona fides. But instead, for me, they establish that she cares about nothing but herself. Now she's worried. Now. But not before. If I'm wrong, I'm willing to be wrong. Not afraid of it. But I don't think I am. That's interesting. Ralph's sending along an article, doing her part as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Oklahoma's coronavirus outbreak could affect drug availability for people with autoimmune diseases. Ralph says, I wonder if this is Nancy Shively. And there she is. A reported shortage in drugs mentioned to help with COVID-19 is causing some anxiety for people with autoimmune diseases that really need the drugs. Nancy Shively said she goes to a pharmacy in Skiatook to get hydroxychloroquine for her autoimmune disease, but said she's afraid of a shortage in the drug after reports it could be a possible treatment to help patients with COVID-19. That story no dateline on it that I can find. Oh, there it is. March 26th. So there, then, that's a good snag, Ralphs. There is the genesis of Nancy Shively's fear. There's the genesis of Nancy Shively's change of heart. Lord, Lord. It's over at USA Today if you want to read the whole thing. But isn't that, to quote John Mellencamp, ain't that America? And isn't that a function of authoritarianism? The inability to care about anyone but themselves until they themselves are impacted? Oh, and speaking... oh, God. Speaking of possible drug therapies, 21 million taxpayer dollars were spent by this maladministration to support a trial, a drug trial, wait for it, this is good, to see if Pepcid, you know, the over-the-counter acid relief medication, to see if Pepcid might, not Pepsi, Pepcid might be a... promising therapy for the Rona. No, really. Wish I was kidding. There weren't really any scientists out there saying, gee, we've got high hopes for Pepcid. I don't know if maybe Nitwit Nero, it came to him in a dream or but, well, the 21 million's gone. And they can't find anybody to participate in the study because, well, nobody thinks that. We're all screwed, Bob. Oh, back to Marinara versus Arizona. Steve in New York says, you forgot the part of the holding where the person is entitled to the pizza, where the person entitled to the pizza must be white. Or maybe it's white pizza. It's all a matter of interpretation. That appears only in dictum, Steve. Law joke. Okie editorial, Clarence says, Nancy got her wake-up call. Funny how some people require... a wake-up call. And that I think psychologically, I think there are studies out there that show that people like us, we're able to look at the sufferings of others, and while perhaps not completely able to put ourselves in their shoes, we can offer up sympathy and empathy. But among those people who are driven and controlled only by their lizard brains, the limbic system. It is the limbic system that's the lizard brain, isn't it? Well, they have to have it right in front of their faces. It's as if they couldn't tell a child not to stick a finger in a light socket unless they themselves stuck their finger in the light socket immediately before telling them not to. I'm baffled by that because it is so such a foreign idea. Flavio says, Nancy gets no cookie from me. Remember I told you my cooperating teacher when I was getting my teaching license suggested I could listen to Rush on my lunch break? That grossly obese, asthmatic creature was a member of WEAC, the Wisconsin Teachers Union, and only watched Fox. She hated unions, but was a member of a union. And by listen to Rush, Flavio's not talking about that little old band from Canada. He's talking about the drug-addled junkie who has a Presidential Medal of Freedom. You just need to listen to Rush so you can straighten up. And of course, that's the other thing nobody will tell you. Rush is a member of a union, too. Of course he is. SAG-AFTRA. Marinara versus Arizona, Billable Rick says, wasn't the author of that opinion Justice Felix Frankfurter? The sausage does go well with the pizza. Ooh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's definitely cowbell worthy. I'll take that one on myself, Billable. That was good. Billable adds, Nancy Shively, Nancy Shivo, it's all the same when it comes down to the ventilator. I remember who Nancy Shively is. Isn't she the lady who's been in a coma since 1976 and was diagnosed as being alive remotely by Senator Bill the Cat Killer Frist? Nancy Shivo and Nancy Shively, aren't they identical for all practical purposes? Shively's obviously been unconscious as she voted for Republicans every election since 1976. I mean, just think about what that means. Gerald fucking Ford? Wow. Just wow. Let's see here. And those school children she claims to talk to care about? The data is not pretty. In Tennessee alone, there are 7,572 school-aged children who are diagnosed with COVID-19. Just Tennessee. 6 Middle Tennessee counties are in the top 10 in the state. Well, somebody needs to check in with... Thank you for that story, Sparky. Somebody needs to check in with the Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, that thing on his head, and let him know that those are all imaginary, invisible children with the Rona. Sure. Billable adds, stop reminding us of how old we are. I voted for 666 Voldemort in 1980, but no Republican since. You wised up! Jeremy says, Bob, quit telling us how smart we are. You can only sweet talk your sycophants so much. Lee says, no, not Pepsi. Probably was Pepsi. Trump probably heard and said the Coke had medicine in it. I wish some of these things weren't so quite entirely possibly true. I know, I am too. I'm not looking forward to it, but I am waiting for it. Silent R. Lamar says, stand your ground. I'm waiting for the first case of someone shooting a person who spits on them. Or breathes on them. Or coughs on them. Because we're pretty much there. You know. When you've got little green goon squad fascists engaging in chemical warfare every blessed night, with peaceful protesters, people exercising their First Amendment rights, then it will probably, and we've already had the brandishing over not wanting to wear a mask. See, that's the thing, though, Silent R. The person being spat upon would have to be the person doing the shooting. And for the most part, the people being spat and coughed upon are the people who are disinclined toward violence. There are a lot of people trying to keep their shit together while the maggots lose theirs. And again, let's see. We got $340 to go to finish the evening so that we don't have some great big whopping Friday on the front porch miracle we're trying to accomplish tomorrow. $340. If we knocked out 140 more, that would mean that we had wiped out yesterday's fundraising and just had to do today. No, Flavio, I haven't gotten around to AOC's floor speech today. But it's in the stack. Hopefully we'll get to it. Right now, though, let's go over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Oh, man, toasty, temperature-wise.
Oh, I'm cool and comfortable. I'm cool and comfortable. Downright serene. Nothing like a hell-bent for leather thunderstorm to cool things off.
You got that right.
It blew through here, and usually this time of year when it blows like that, the rain hits, turns to steam, and it's just sticky all over again. So far today, I guess that was an outright cold front. Maybe it was coming down from far Canoodlia, and just nice. I mean, it's been rainy and kept me from playing in the yard, but you know, into each life, some rain must fall.
Well, you know, weather changes, whether you like it or whether you don't. I don't know. You know, I'm just keeping my eyes out. This hurricane season has started, so, you know, that's just another issue for us to think about down the road. But it was so funny to hear you. As soon as I was ready to call, I'd already, you know, thought about what I wanted to mention, kind of. Or, you know, talk with you about, and then you bring up limbic system, and I was like, oh boy, serendipity. That's, you know,
that's the lizard connected. Brain. That is the lizard brain, isn't it?
Well, it's connected, and that's why I wanted to bring it up.
No, the amygdala, the amygdala.
Right. And the way it's connected. Let me explain why it's connected, because this ties into who we're talking about. Oh, by the way, did you hear? Never mind, I'm not going to tell that joke right now. I had a funny joke, but I'm not going to tell it, and I'm going to be serious. Because this isn't, you know, this is down my alley here. This is my former career. So, well, first of all, I remember when I was screening people for Alzheimer's dementia, and I didn't even plan to talk about this part, but just really quick. And that was the last really big study I worked on before I changed careers. And, you know, when you couldn't make a decent score on the MoCA, what would happen is that, because I mean, I worked on an Alzheimer's dementia study, and I had a lot of roles. I was screening people, running the animals, and running the humans. And so what would happen is that for the screening process with the humans, if you didn't pass, that was the first thing you did. You know, you got your paperwork, blah, blah, blah. But then you have to score a certain amount on the MoCA, or, you know, you were ineligible for the study because you were too, you know, scored too low. Or you score too high. And if you score too high, you'd be in a separate group, a control group. But, you know, we're looking for low scores. And then what would happen is that they would get escorted to another office, and the paperwork would be pulled up by a secretary, and they would call the emergency contact number. And it's like, excuse me, you need to come get your such and such, your grandfather, your uncle, because they really shouldn't be out in public unattended. I mean, there's a whole script that will be read to this, you know, the participant. At that point, they were a participant because they're not
right.
Really enrolled yet. And so every time I hear him talk about this, and I'm glad that Joe has been just railing on this, is like, why are you bragging about that, you know, you've been arrested 28 times for theft, but you had never been convicted? You know, it's like, why you're in that at ether. Why don't talk about it? you know, you're just making it worse. But my point is that, there's a part of that test, you see, they don't tell you. What happens is that you're asked to say a few words about maybe a quarter into the test. And, you know, depending on who's giving the exam, sometimes
man,
you have to remember
woman,
words, sometimes they don't.
Person,
right,
camera light.
Right. Man, and that question is weighed heavily.
Well, right? did I get it wrong, or when I heard that, did he actually get man and woman backwards the second time? Because I was playing, I was watching and playing the home game, Todd. Because he, man, woman, person, camera, lights. Okay, and you do that. Okay, man, woman,
right,
person, camera, light. Okay, and then he goes, woman, man.
Right.
Oh God! These are terrifying. These are terrifying times, but there are delightful little comedic moments that come out of them from time to time.
Just the best we can hope for. And then, when we look back at last week with the interview with Chris Wallace, and he kept saying, you couldn't pass it, you couldn't pass it. And Chris is being a nice guy about it. Like, well, you know, you don't want to even argue about that. If you're arguing about
right, no, he's not being a nice guy. He's sitting there going, I like my job. The check keeps clearing.
And you're the president, Mr. President. God,
I can't bear down on this.
Man, when are people going to wake up? So that's just part of it. So the other part, right, so if you pass the MoCA, then there's the puff test. And it's an involuntary reflex. It's like when you go when you're little and the doctor takes a little rubber hammer and hits your knee or your elbow. You have no control over that, you know, and this is the way the puff test is. And you sit the respondent in a seat, and their chin goes in a chin cup, and it's like a face shield. And what happens is that it pushes a puff of air directly on your eyeball, and it's not comfortable at all. It doesn't hurt, but it's uncomfortable.
Is that like the pressure test for glaucoma?
Correct. Very similar. And if you look at his, and you know, there's a correlation between how many times you blink per minute and your intelligence. I hate to say that, but because it's not true all the time, but there's a slight correlation there. But I'm looking at him. I don't think he can pass the puff test. And what you have to do, you say, okay, you know, you get him seated, and the face shield is the proper millimeters away from their eyeball because everybody's head is shaped, you know, they're shaped differently. And you say, okay, you will feel slightly uncomfortable. After I count to three, there'll be a burst of air, you know, directly at your eyeball. And what you do, when you get to two, you hit the button, because what's going to happen is that people invariably blink at three. So it's not unethical, but that's what you have to do. But I just thought that was funny. But, okay, so that's just, like, part of my experience. And then, I worked with the animals. We would induce Alzheimer's dementia in the rabbits. There's a way you can do that. So stay away from heavy metals and too much copper, zinc. I mean, zinc is good, but you don't want too much of certain metals in your body, because at least in animals, you can induce Alzheimer's dementia. And I'm just saying that just because I've seen it in the lab. I mean,
you mean those idiots with more dollars than sense that are buying the gold dust coated wings at that restaurant in New York City might not be helping themselves?
They might not. I don't know about the research on gold, but too much of any kind of metal is probably not a good idea in your body. You know, that's why I'm like, a lot of people are fascinated by like the sodium potassium pump and semi-permeable membranes, because it's amazing that we can eat Doritos and function. That should just short why we should just be dead. You know, it's amazing that
Doritos.
What is all those chemicals? Are you kidding me? And don't ever drink Diet Coke.
I just figured I was pre-embalming with all those preservatives.
Well, who knows? We'll see. But to the limbic system and the reptilian brain, right, it's the amygdala. But what happens is that the limbic system is like a horseshoe-shaped structure in the brain. And it's called a powerful associative area. And because it influences a lot of your behavior. And this is why, you know this from being a lawyer, there's a reason that people figured out way a long time ago, when you're in distress, you shouldn't make you know, big life decisions. That's why it's something called duress. Because when you're stressed, you go straight to your limbic. You just go straight to emotion. You can't be rational. And, you know, you really have to be trained to overcome that. You have to know when, oh, I'm not being rational right now. I have to step back. And, you know, most people don't take the time or, you know, not inclined to do that. And I'm quite sure you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
Okay, so that's why that's there. Right, so the limbic system, and this is what I was saying about Trump, is like, he's in, see, and the reason I'm called, I let it rest for a minute, because I was like, my God. Now, Mary Trump is a clinical psychologist. I just have a degree and a lot of experience in the lab and, you know, other things. You know, I was a research assistant at a university full-time for 10 years and then part-time, front half and back half. So I've been around, you know, what I'm saying is that this is why I was saying he's a sociopath, but he's a walking cauldron of pathology. And that's almost exactly what she said. I put the cauldron part in. But you see, it's not just one or two things. It's, you know, this horn thing, man, you're ahead of the curve. We were talking about this years ago. You know, this is not, this shit has to stop now. Because, and then we hadn't even talked about the substance abuse on top of everything and the syphilis. Because it is apparent. That's what I'm saying. It's so much, which is why they had to give him so much, you know, so many chemicals and psychoactive medications just to keep him going. It's just shocking. I don't know if you saw what Mary Trump said.
Oh, I've seen a number of interviews with her.
Well,
which part were you referring to? The fact that he's incapable of experiencing joy?
Check. Right.
I mean, I'm not being sarcastic. If you flat out can't experience joy, what the hell's wrong with you?
A lot is wrong with him. That's the point. And see, and all right, here's another layer to this. And I don't remember if you remember when I was telling you this, but see, when he went to NEMA, that's the insiders call it NEMA, New York Military Academy, he went there at a young age. That's a terrible, terrible place. I know personally.
It's juvenile. It's juvenile hall for people who can afford to not have their kids sent to juvenile hall.
Yes. Literally, that's what they use in New York State. That's what they used to do. It's just like in the movie. Say, well, you can go to reform school or you can go to, you know, prison with the rest of the bad kids from the Bronx. Right. And guess what? It's not far from Sing Sing. Sing Sing is Ossining. They got a men's prison on one side of the highway, and it's a women's prison on the other. Ossining is the real name, but they call it Sing Sing. That was there when I was living there in the 80s, in the early 80s. Remember, I lived in New York from 81 to 84, and we were required to read the New York Times every day. I mean, that was just like you had to do it. And it was, you know, the teacher-to-student ratio was so small, there's no way you had to do your work. You know, it would be like Mr. Hand coming and knocking on your door. This is boarding school. Like, hey, where's your work? Oh, you know, I was doing bong hits. I don't have it. Oh, yeah? Okay. Anyway.
Wait a minute.
So
I was doing bong hits, man.
You got to love Mr. Hand. I just, yeah. That movie.
Were those Quaker bong hits, Todd?
Can't you see him coming back after Spicoli graduates and said, let me see what this is all about? And he does a big master blaster. And
Mr. Hand, you got a cough to get off.
Oh, shit, Bob. That was, oh, my God. That was perfect.
Been working on it for a while.
I didn't know you had it like that. Damn. So all right, so that's really, I was just like, man, this is exactly what we had been talking about for years. And she made it clear, like, it's not just one or two things. That's what I was saying. It's like he's firmly entrenched in sociopathy, but the way he behaves, you know, he could pass the test to be a psychopath because he has the power. And now I'm going to believe, I'm a little more about the limbic system. It's very, everything goes through your emotions. That's why, you know, we have to be careful about when we get excited. And that's what was so nice about hearing Jude last night. Jude is just like some kind of different spirit. She, you know, wow, that was something.
Well, it's interesting you would mention Jude because I just had a note from her saying, Todd, I'm finding your interchange profoundly grounding regarding the specifics of knowledge. Thanks so much, Todd and Bob. Well, this is mostly Todd, so thanks go to you. But Jude's listening, Bob, and she appreciates what you're putting out there.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate it. And you know what's funny? Nobody tells you when you go into the field of psychology. I didn't know there would be a lot of statistics involved. I just was interested, and think that's the only thing that got me through math. You know that math requirement. It's like you avoid that like the plague as long as you can. You remember
statistics?
That?
Hey, statistics ran me right out of archaeology. See ya. Goodbye. I'll just wait for the next dad. Indiana Jones movie. Fucking pot hunter.
Oh my god. So you know, I was listening to your protege or your mentor, I don't know which one to say, but Stone Mountain Man. And he hit it. I've been thinking about Pinochet ever since this Black Boot shit started, because that's more modern. And motherfucker, we need to wake the fuck up, man. We better do something. These people are ready. Do you understand?
Oh no, we're approaching the time of the generals in Argentina and people sedated being rolled out of helicopters. I mean, they did that shit.
I'm very concerned. I think we should all be very, very concerned. And they have taken
they're playing out of the fascist playbook. I mean, I think we've established that pretty clearly. But the other part of it is they are trying to, I mean, you know what that term kettling is? You know, that's when you got protesters and you try to run them into a cul-de-sac of your own creation so that then you can beat hell out of them. And make sure that they run no risk of escaping your wrath. They did that on Inauguration Day in D.C., you may recall. And so, you know, these plans have been in place for a while. It's just a matter of developing them and finding a convenient moment in which to put it in motion. Well, that moment is now. But the thing is, our side, the side of decent people, is it's like what Jude was talking about last night with the man who said these are good kids, but they don't know how to deal with their anger. Nobody's ever taught them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll preface this by saying, isn't it just damn funny that there's an organization in the United States that has warned us for a generation against the coming time when the jackbooted thugs of the government would put their government jackboots right down on our freedom-loving necks right next to the tattoo that says only God can judge me.
Irony.
And now it's happening, and Wayne the Peter over at the National Ruble Association says, huh, what? What?
But it's their side doing it.
Right, that because they like it. They a long time ago, I said that the efforts of the NRA were efforts to destroy civil society and put us in a state of perpetual civil violence. And we're very close to getting there. And what I'm trying to get at, or working toward, is that our side is using all of the tactics that we've been taught all along to use. You know, we take drumsticks and beat on plastic paint buckets and holler, hey, hey, ho, ho, all them cops has got to go. And we chant, what does democracy look like? And the other side hollers, this is what democracy looks like. And what do we want? When do we want it? Now. And that only works with power structures that are amenable to shame. And some power structures have none. I think about...
I've been listening to you.
I think about the beatdowns that His Majesty's government put on both Indian and Irish people. You know,
right.
the massacre of Bloody Sunday. Or the moment when British forces went and just machine gunned nonviolent protesters in India. It went on for years because everybody's like, well, you know, Gandhi used nonviolence. Well, they had to be driven to a point where the entire world was looking at them and saying, fuck you. The same thing had to happen to South Africa. It's one of the reasons that Israel, for instance, bristles so when they are compared to South Africa, because they know that the tactics with South Africa worked.
They shouldn't bristle.
And we're in a position now where shaming them, you can't shame a maggot. You can't shame Bill Barr. You can't shame that wolf or Ken the Cooch Cuccinelli.
You know,
what they want, Todd, is for our side to say, well, okay, fine, and start shooting. Because then they will know that they are operating on their turf.
We have to beat them with smarts.
Somebody who knows the history of my own region, I know what a disaster that can be. And yeah. I point particularly to something that happened almost exactly 100 years ago. And that was the March on Logan. Mm-hmm. And you get young activists who come here, and I'm not trying to be dismissive, but it's not a stereotype because I see it all over the place. And they tie a red bandana around their neck and they talk about how heroic the UMWA was in 1920. And it is so much absolute bullshit. Okay? Because on out of one side of their mouth, they'll say, oh, Mother Jones was wonderful. And then they will equally defend and praise the miners who resorted to taking up arms against people who had fucking airplanes with bombs in them in the March on Logan.
Yep.
And Mother Jones, I got in trouble once because somebody said, you know, we need to put up a monument at Blair Mountain. I said, absolutely. Put up a 100-foot tall statue of Mother Jones saying, for fuck's sake, please don't take up arms. Please don't be suckered into violence like they want you to, because they will crush you for a generation. And they told her, those miners did, that she had loved and nursed and cared for and brought back to health and gone to prison for, been called the most dangerous woman in America for. She called them her boys, black and white alike.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, old woman, you've lost your nerve. And they marched. They took up arms. They shot. They got bombed by Billy Mitchell. The first time aerial warfare was used against American citizens by the American military. And they were crushed like bugs underfoot. There were treason trials, Todd. There were treason trials here coming out of the armed march on Logan. And the United Mine Workers disappeared as any kind of realistic force for the well-being of coal miners in this region. And only when the rest of this country was being beaten down as bad as the miners were, did they pull a Nancy Snively slyly and look up and go, shit, it sucks to be us, too. And they've got rid of Herbert Hoover in the middle of the Great Depression, elected Franklin Roosevelt, gave him a Democratic Congress to work with, and the, one of the first things they did was to pass the National Labor Relations Act, and that is when the United Mine Workers got what they had wanted all along, and what they deprived themselves of by taking up violence. It's all right there. All you got to do is learn the history. I don't mean you. The Horn Family Community Congregation knows all this because I've talked about it so much. But they're trying to, they're doing everything that Sheriff Chafin did in Logan, and he was no less a fascist goon. Remember, this is taking place at the time that Italy is inventing fascism. And the fascism Mussolini invented in Italy was little different than the company corporate fascism that had held sway in the coal fields of Appalachia and other industrial areas. I mean, oh, God, Ludlow, Colorado. Haymarket.
Right. Well,
yeah, the Pullman strike, the Porter's strikes, Flint.
Right. See, all you had to do was say red. Remember, the corporate power structure here, which is riding the coattails of, oh my God, they're reds. You know, they're communists. They're trying to, that's it. But you have been saying, you have been just, you've been making a very powerful argument over the past couple of weeks, explaining that, see, the fascists operate differently than we do. They use force, and they have no qualms about it. And that's what's going on now. And this is why
it's definitional to them, Todd.
That's how they do it. See, while we've been sleeping, they've got the attorney general. They've got, you need to help me with my memory. I'm trying to think if it was Homeland Security or ICE. One of the heads of those agencies, when I was, you know, I like C-SPAN, you know, when you dig into it and see what's really going on in the hearings, this guy's uniform was straight out of Hugo Boss, 1939. I was like, what? This fucker had on some shit out of a Batman movie.
Yep.
Somebody has to pull this up. Deacon Ace is somebody. The uniform is frightening. If that doesn't look fascist, I don't know what is. Look at how ICE is operating now. See, they've got the levers of power, and only we can do is put our bodies on the line. They're waiting for us to act up. They're going to act up. They've been acting up. This is why they're on the street with no names. They say, well, we don't want to be doxxed. You know, we don't want to be we don't want to have our names out there. You know.
Yeah, we don't have the courage of our convictions.
And, you know, I'm not anti-government, but this is a protest, and this is what I would say to folks. We all have people in our circles, family, whatever, not all, but many people who don't agree with us and, you know, they see things a certain way. But maybe gently remind them, you know, of history and how things happen.
Well, one hopes that cooler heads will prevail. And that may be, you know, look, Portland is Portland. And I guess maybe I've got some preconceived notions, but it's pretty, you know, hippie and groovy. And I imagine this just floating cloud of patchouli smoke over the entire city. I know it's not like that.
But the rest of Oregon is not like that.
No. East of the mountains is crazy town. You know, remember, that's where the Mellor, Mellor Wildlife Refuge is, where, you know, the Bundy boys had their revolution and paid no price for it whatsoever.
Yep.
But, and I think this is important, they have not succeeded in, because, see, Nitwit Nero thinks that every other Portlandian is a member of Antifa. You know, got the secret decoder ring and the down low handshake and the up high public acknowledgement and they got Antifa t-shirts and what have you. And so he was just sure they'd come out into the streets and you know, play and play rough and throw concrete milkshakes at those poor bedraggled screws from the bureaus of prisons. But they didn't so far. It's been relatively calm. And so what's next? Oh, well, okay.
It didn't work there. We'll go to Chicago. Those fuckers won't take it. They'll fight us. We'll go to Kansas City. There's some tough fuckers. They'll fight us.
They're just waiting on someone that represents us to take a shot at federal law enforcement so they can just open up.
Yeah. I mean, you want to know how bizarre it is? This is the damnedest thing. Tom Cotton of Arkansas.
Oh, God.
He hates Black Lives Matter so much that he has introduced a bill in the Senate that withholds funding from any school system or outright, I'm sorry, that bans this, any school system from using the New York Times 1619 Project, which is a brilliant effort to really have almost a truth and reconciliation moment, understanding the full force and effect of slavery. He wants to ban the 1619 Project from being used in schools all over the United States of America. And when Oregon,
that's great.
When Oregon spoke out against these occupying little green goons, and yeah, among other things, the Oregon Attorney General filed suit in federal court. Tom Cotton of Arkansas, who probably couldn't find Portland with a GPS, an atlas, and both hands. Oh no, that was his ass. said. It's no more a violation of the prerogatives of Oregon as a state than trying to defend Fort Sumter was from insurrectionists in 1861.
He didn't say that. You're making that up. That's ridiculous. He couldn't have said that. Come on.
Of course he said it.
What the hell is he thinking about?
He said that people protesting against racism are the exact same thing as racists opening fire with artillery on a federal installation.
Okay.
Now, you know how we were talking about, you know, we get our little giggles where we can?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this in turn got something started on Twitter, much to Tom Cotton's... Well, I'm sure he's not pleased.
Fuck him and all his necks.
Tom Cotton so racist jokes. Tom Cotton so racist he thinks Frederick Douglass owed his masters money. And these are black folks that are chiming in with these things. Tom Cotton so racist he foreclosed on Uncle Tom's cabin. Tom Cotton's so racist when he carves up his roadkill supper, he only eats the white meat. Tom Cotton's so racist, he's afraid of the dark.
Man, wait a minute. Save your act, man. Save it.
No, this ain't mine. This is most of this stuff's coming from a brilliant guy named Elie Mystal. I think he's a lawyer out of New York. Shows up on MSNBC from time to time. Tom Cotton's so racist, they named us... Huh?
He has a hippie afro.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's got the blowout. Yeah, okay.
Tom Cotton's so racist they named a slave crop after him. Tom Cotton's so racist John Wilkes Booth wants to play him in the movie. Tom Cotton's so racist he thinks Nelson Mandela was in Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, man.
Tom Cotton's so racist he thinks white rhino is endangered because there are too many black rhinos.
Oh, man.
Tom Cotton's so racist he calls his brown hair dirty blonde. But wait, because this is the best one. Tom Cotton's so racist he only read 3/5 of these jokes.
Oh, damn.
Tom Cotton's so racist he estranged himself from his nieces and nephews just in case.
Oh, that motherfucker needs some cookies.
At least a cowbell for all of those, yeah. Tom Cotton's so racist he's starting to look just like Stephen Miller.
Oh, shit.
And we got a Stephen Miller story, Todd. Stephen Miller's grandma, and it ain't funny. Stephen Miller's.
No, I know, but wait,
I know. It's unfair for me to move into the serious stuff. And Tom Cotton.
How are you going to set that up, man? It's like putting a damn a golf ball the size of a softball on a tee and say, "Oh, no, don't go near it."
Tom Cotton's so racist. He only read 3/5 of these jokes. Man, that just slayed me. Now, I don't know. It's between that and Tom Cotton's so racist John Wilkes Booth wants to play him in the movie. But he is. Imagine that, being so afraid of actual history that you would introduce a bill in the Senate to forbid teaching it. I'm going to save this story, and I'm going to email this story to Dr. Bill. And if Dr. Uh-oh. Bill doesn't have a straight-up conniption Monday afternoon, I'll be surprised. Because I know that Dr. Bill knows that there is a direct comparison to this. And I'll leave it to Dr. Bill. But there was a time in this country when white wealth class forbade the importation of certain books. Lest it make people uppity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, you're going back to what really got, yes, way back to the Mr. Not Hand.
Oh no, we're talking about late 1790s, early 1800s.
Right. No, I didn't mean Mr. Hand as in the movie, but
no, Learned Hand. Learned Hand the judge, but he's in the 19-teens and 1920s.
Okay. But, you know, you're maintaining that structure where, right, they you know, that's just what I don't get. I deal with a lot of people who just don't have a grasp of history, and it's getting to be dangerous. I just wanted to add this to the conversation. You know, I've said it before, and until I feel like I have seen a more persuasive argument, I feel like America only responds to money and violence. And so whenever we hear, because I hear a lot of people that, you know, I like and I respect, but they just don't understand Black Lives Matter and they feel threatened by it and they just don't get it. And I calmly explain to them, well, how do you think this country was formed? You know, because people always talk about, well, they're tearing up people's property. And see, that goes into the psyche of, once again, police are here to protect property and white women. You know, people of color and everybody else can really, you know, go away. It's about property and white women at the end of the day. And then, I mean, I'm drawing that out maybe a little bit, and I admit that, but I'm just trying to make a point. But when you look back, look at the Boston Tea Party. What they were destroying property.
Damn straight.
And then they blamed it on the black people, you know, who were the Indians. They blamed it on somebody else. Just like some of these white people, the right-wing white people come in and bust up the windows and get the black folks to run in the store and loot so they can take pictures. And they just keep walking because they know they're not getting picked up because they're white.
Well, they're foraging.
Oh, they're foraging. That's true. You know, and they pulled down King George, right, in New York City. They pulled him down.
Now, wait. You made a reference again. What'd you say? They protect the property and the white women. Was that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, where are the white women at? Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, shit.
Sorry.
Play that for Steve Miller and Donald Trump and see what happens. and this shit about, well, he can't be racist because he dated a black woman. Well, Thomas Jefferson dated a black woman, too, one could make an argument. You know, it's not about hating white people. It's about if people need to come clean with history. And I've been thinking about this. What do you think about this statement? See, come on, man, I'm in the deep south. I see these things, and I hear people. I see all kinds of people, and I have to interact with all kinds of people because I do, and I don't mind, and that's fine. It's America. But, you see, it's interesting people's perspective. These monuments, the monuments are not all the same. You know, why are they in front of courthouses? You know, why were they put up so far after? Why do they all look the same? You know, answer these questions.
I got it. Yeah, and I got a great example of that for you.
Mm-hmm.
County where I was born, Lauderdale County, Alabama. Actually named for a lieutenant or you know, an underling of Andrew Jackson's who died in the War of 1812. That's why there's also a Fort Lauderdale in Florida. Same dude.
Get out.
Well, so not long either before or after I was born, the old county courthouse there done burnt down. And then they built a brand new modern, I guess it's... what's that architectural design style? Brutalist? You familiar with the Brutalist school?
Yep.
Just a rectangular gray building with a lot of marble slabs and shit. Well,
yep.
To this day, yep. Out in front of that courthouse, there stands the generic Confederate soldier statue. Now, that particular...
It looks so stupid.
What?
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
That looks so stupid, the juxtaposition.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know when that statue... And it's a question that I would have to dig around to find out. Did that statue just happen to survive the tumbling and crumbling that attended the old courthouse burning? Or did they put a brand new one up in 1962?
Okay, to replace the old one, or just...
I don't know. I mean, you know, like I said, and that's the point here. If you're trying to honor the past, and I'm not making the argument, but I'm just pointing out the facts, that particular county of Alabama, of course... sent a shit ton of its sons to fight in that treasonous war.
Right.
And it sent its well-to-dos, and it sent its poor dirt farmers.
Right.
You know, the poor dirt farmers got sucked into the war because they were told that the Yankees was going to come and rape their women folk. So that's why they marched off to the war. I mean, I've seen the recruiting posters from that era. Yeah, you know, save the flower of Southern womanhood from the ravaging Yankees.
Well, that's how they got hoodwinked. I mean, they weren't. Yeah. What were they getting out of it?
But then, but then you know, if you got a couple of horses and a little bit of money, you get to be a cavalry colonel or some such shit. And we sent people, and that county sent people who were that way. So if you got to have a statue, at least have it be some fucking body. But instead, this is a statue of a... It's like having a statue of the Joker.
Right.
You know, an entirely fictitious character. Somebody who wasn't real. Right. It's just a generic, here's what a Confederate soldier looked like. Standing up on a big-ass plinth. Standing up on a big-ass plinth. Right. And it doesn't say Lauderdale County in front of it. It says it says three shitty letters, CSA.
See, that needs to be addressed. What you're mentioning, and we talked about this before, but I guess because
I don't know. The people who listen to this program are pretty much history people, but I guess I take for granted how little many people know about American history. And so there's two things I want to comment on to what you just said. The first is about those statues, because we talked about that before. Like, these are just many of them are just mass produced, and you mentioned it, the same old bedraggled dude with the rifle. And it's like, okay, so why did they all show up at a certain time in a certain place?
Because they were funded by the United Daughters of the Confederacy.
That's it. Yep. That's it. See, as because what happened, you know, is that during Reconstruction, it's like, damn, these Negroes, they're in office, they're in Congress. Oh, hell no, we can't have that. No, no, no.
And you know, the funny thing is, it came about that there was a war of the statues, Todd. Because when those generic traders in their butternut and you know they're always dressed and accoutrements a hell of a lot better than they were. Most of them were toothless and haggard, half starved with rags wrapped on their feet because they were so fucking stupid. They entered a rich man's war that turned out to be a poor man's fight. You know, most of them weren't even literate.
Nope.
But anyway, so those things start popping up all over the South, and son of a gun, next thing you know, there are generic Union soldiers popping up on courthouse lawns all over the North.
Yep.
I've seen them in Ohio. I've seen them in Wisconsin. I've seen them in West Virginia. Because
they're in Germantown.
If they're going to remember generic Southern soldiers, we at least owe it to the men who saved the Republic to remember them too. So right there on the lawn of the Jackson County, West Virginia courthouse, and it says GAR, Grand Army of the Republic.
Mm-hmm. Their counterpart.
And he looks pretty much the same thing. He's got his kepi hat on, you know, that little tilted looking thing. But he's got his musket and his knapsack.
One foundry did most of those soldiers from both sides.
I wouldn't be surprised. Somebody made bank.
Somebody's going to do the research. I think I heard Dr. Blight, David Blight out of Yale. I think he covered that. I like to listen to his lectures.
Now, here's the funny thing, though. There's something strange about statues on courthouse lawns. I got a good friend from a long time back. You go down to Boone County, West Virginia, and they don't have a Civil War statue. They have a coal miner statue. And I remember the first time I saw it, I looked at my buddy and said, well, that's nice. He said, "Ah, hell, it is. That ain't no working man. That's a mine boss. Looky there. He got him a gas detector in his hand. You ought to have a bologna sandwich." And so, lo and behold, yeah, that's that coal miner statue on the lawn there at the Boone County Courthouse is actually a boss and not a working miner. Not a union man.
Well, that's the same dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the same dynamic as having the oppressor let you know, all right, you're not going to get a fair shake in this body.
Right. Wow. And then there's just the straight up reality, and it's a chilling sight to behold. The courthouse in McDowell County, West Virginia. You know, back a couple of years ago, it was terribly, terribly fashionable to talk about the plight of McDowell County, West Virginia. Because once upon a time, there'd been a population of 100,000 people, and more wealth poured out of McDowell County than just about any other county in Appalachia and maybe in the country. Because, man, they were mining hand over fist. and the place was jam-packed, the hills and the hollers, and there's still a few old remnant mansions and stuff. But now it's just pill heads and folks waiting to die.
How far is that from where you are?
If I was a bird, I could probably fly there in about 20 minutes. Takes about 2 hours to drive.
Wow.
Because, I mean, you really got to want to get there. But the courthouse in Welch, because there's not a hell of a lot of flat ground, it sits on a hillside, and it's got a long flight of concrete steps up to it. And if you know your history, you know what happened on those steps. And it goes back to what we were talking about. In Matewan, a man named Sid Hatfield, who was the town sheriff, stood up to the Baldwin thugs, and it led to a shootout, and he blew away a couple of brothers of the head Felts, the Baldwin Felts Detective Agency. And Sid Hatfield had been in the First World War and probably known how to use a gun since he emerged from the womb. He's Hatfield, after all. And he's played brilliantly in Matewan, John Sayles' Matewan, by, David... He's had a storied career. But, he stands up and this won't do for a warrant. And eventually, he kills them two Felts brothers in the shootout. It's actually a far more compelling shootout than anything that ever happened at the OK Corral. But the Baldwin Felts Detective Agency wanted revenge.
It was personal.
And so they had they rigged themselves up a grand jury, got him indicted for murder. And then as he walked up, and he was a hero. He was a hero to the people around, the working people, because nobody stood up for them. And as he climbed up those steps to the McDowell County Courthouse, Baldwin thugs in broad daylight stepped out and blew him to pieces. And no one was ever punished for it.
Just like that.
Just like that. And it was the murder of Two Gun Sid Hatfield that in part so inflamed the miners that they marched on Logan and got bombed by Billy Mitchell's United States Air Force, or United States Army Air Force. David Strathern. Thank you, James in Illinois.
America, I mean, we love it. This is our country and everything, but America's complicated. American history is complicated, and America is complicated.
It's ugly. If you look at it in reality, it's damned well ugly, because it's a never ending string of injustices and murders.
It does appear that way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we grow, by fits and starts of murder and mayhem. I mean, for instance, take your region, West Virginia. Now, topographically, that is the perfect setup for the power structure. Almost, it's like sharecropping, except it's coal mining. Because it's mountainous, there's only a few roads in and out. They can control everything. You're locked in. Where are you going to go? Think you're going to have to go to the company store to get anything. The banks, they own the bank. They own everything. How are you going to get out? Then there's goon squads if you do get too uppity. Same with the Mississippi sharecroppers. A couple roads in, a couple roads out. Some of those roads are private. You can't go across people's land. That's a big deal down here, being on a private road or some shit. They take that shit seriously. So let me ask you this. Now, a lot of people don't like to agree with this, but it's just American history, I think. I'm pretty sure you know, the Confederacy had to be readmitted to the Union.
Absolutely. They had to sign loyalty oaths. Promise never again to take up arms against the United States of America. For all intents and purposes, they had to admit their treason.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. Now, if we accept that as a fact, which it is this lost cause nonsense and the history of the Confederacy, is it history that happened in America, or is it American history?
Now, that is a fine, fine point.
I've been thinking about this because of, you know, what I do now, and I'm just can't help it, man. People come in and say all kinds of wild stuff to me, man. It's crazy. Do you see my point?
Oh, yeah. And then there's the question of whose history is it? from the everything old is new again department. The 100th anniversary of the slaughter of Sid Hatfield and Ed Chambers will come around on August the 1st, 2021. This August the 1st will be the 99th anniversary of that assassination.
Meatwad never gets old. It's good to watch that at least once a year, just to stay, you know what I mean, just to keep things in perspective.
Well, and to see how one thing leads to another, and how they can be seemingly little things.
Let me, you know, while I have you on the horn, let me ask you to, you know, we like to talk about data, well, I do, and then, you know, you humor me. But, I'm looking back now. It looks like this administration has a serious pattern of manipulating all the data.
Sure they do.
They change the way what a job is. They've done it, like, across the board. Mick Mulvaney was doing this. We are in trouble. We don't have... Okay, let me calm down. You go ahead and respond to what I said, please, because I'm just too upset.
No. I mean, that's all they're about. I mean, look, his whole miserable presidency began with an allegation that his was bigger than Obama's, even though everybody saw it and it wasn't. And it's been all downhill from there.
Did you hear about Trump's mushroom cap? No, did you hear about it?
No, what?
You know why he didn't. It wasn't big news.
Well, yeah, I mean, insecurity. I was talking about the inauguration crowd.
Well, you know what? Okay, fine. That's a real, let me tell you, that is a thorn in my paw. That's one of these smilet thorns in my paw. This is when, like, you know, I had figured out he was mentally ill during the Bertha thing when I was like, man, he's off. Like, he was always crazy, but now he's really off. And now I'm thinking it's that syphilis like you're talking about, tertiary syphilis. But what you're talking about here, say the same sentence you said, and you're going to set me up.
Yeah, what? We've known it from the very beginning? From the very beginning he said that his was bigger than Obama's, even though we'd seen both and we knew it was a lie?
The crowd side, right. See, there's something called foam core, and what happens is that, like, if you're in Congress or you're doing a presentation, it's this nice, lightweight, stiff but light surface that you can affix a nice blown-up graphic or photograph to. And it's great when you're making a presentation. Now, he blew the crowd size up of his inauguration and Obama's, and he kept insisting that his was larger when you could clearly see that was not the case. And it wasn't funny anymore. He was like, no, it's larger, don't you see? So all the people who didn't agree to the fact that he was mentally ill, like everybody, you know, who's in social sciences knew and could see, And especially if you lived in the Northeast and been watching him longitudinally, you knew that. It's like, you know, just stop. Just be objective. Take your emotions out of it. Once again, take your emotions out of it. Back up. Look at the facts. Why does he insist on that? And he's serious. So, you know, this is what I'm concerned about now. He's not running the country. We got the jackboots running.
No, and that's what I was going to tell you a minute ago, and I somehow diverted myself. That is, it turned out that Stephen Miller's grandmother recently passed away of COVID-19.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had to let the funny pass before we did this. She did. She passed away. The family announced it. And the White House gainsaid the family's announcement.
No, she didn't. She had the Rona back in March. She just died of old age a couple of days ago.
I'm not kidding. That's how venal and shitty and miserable and petty they are.
They're snakes. They're amygdala people. They're reptiles. A lot of them. And remember, and she's probably Jewish, you know, because he's a self-hating Jew.
Oh, yeah. No, she is Jewish. And in fact,
see?
His... The same uncle, I think it is, who called him out and said, our family would never have been welcome here, and you wouldn't even exist. Announced this woman's passing. I think her last name was Gerson. And explained... Yeah, she did. She died of sequelae of COVID-19 because she got to where she couldn't eat because she couldn't breathe. And she couldn't breathe because of what had happened to her with COVID-19. It's just reality. And the White House, you know, no kidding, said, nuh-uh, she died because old lady.
And they could have spun that into a good story of empathy. They chose not to.
Well, no, they can't afford anything that calls into question the narrative. That's why, you know, when you said... They mess with all the data? Yes.
Right.
Every bit of it.
So where is it? Are we at the tipping point yet where I feel like we're, I don't know, man, I'm starting to feel a little bit optimistic maybe because it's just so blatant now.
I don't allow myself that, Todd. Because... optimism breeds complacency. Because I was here for 2016, and there were a whole bunch of members of the Sparkle Fart Propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol who said, well, I can vote my conscience and vote for Jill Stein. Everybody else will take care of it and elect Hillary, and I won't get my little pitties dirty.
May I qualify my statement? I'm not referring to the fact of the...
I just don't want anybody thinking it's in the bag because with everything going on, it ain't in the bag.
No, are you kidding? Right now, he will win. He's going to win. He's going to win. The fix is in. He's going to win unless we do something. And he knows that. That's why he's acting the way he is.
Oh, and her name was Ruth. You know, attention must be paid. Her name was Ruth Glosser. I got the name right. In the statement put out by David Glosser, her son, and Stephen Miller's uncle, he said, "This morning, my mother, Ruth Glosser, died of the late effects of COVID-19, like so many thousands of other people, both young and old. She survived the acute infection but was left with lung and neurological damage that destroyed her will to eat and her ability to breathe well enough to sustain arousal and consciousness. Over an 8-week period, she gradually slipped away and died peacefully this morning. The White House, via a statement, had the sickening gall to say, his grandmother did not pass away from COVID. She was diagnosed with COVID in March and passed away in July, so that timeline does not add up at all. His grandmother died peacefully in her sleep from old age. I would hope that you would choose not to go down this road.
These evil fuckers.
You know, maybe that was Judd Deere, the same useless sack of dung who declared that the president didn't have to follow a masking order in New Jersey because he's not a civilian. Yeah, he is. But they're fucking with the wrong people. Because David Glosser responded and said, my mother led a long, satisfying, productive life of family and community service. She had nothing to be ashamed of, and concealing her cause of death to offer privacy to me, our family, her hundreds of relatives and friends, does nothing to assuage our regret at her loss. And then he shared the death certificate, and the death certificate says, died from respiratory arrest resulting from COVID-19.
Right there.
And even after the death certificate came out, the White House then said, it was a mild case of COVID-19 in March. She was never hospitalized and made a full and quick recovery.
This is the playbook. This is the playbook.
This is everything. This is everything. There is nothing they won't lie about.
You know, you remember the hurricane when he took out his Sharpie? That's manipulating data.
Sure it is.
He's not a meteorologist. He should have left that shit alone. This is.
But they can't because they live in a perpetual state of fear and anxiety, vainglory and jealousy. They are petty to the point of being. They're so petty, it doesn't show up on a scanning electron microscope, their pettiness. It goes all the way to the bone. There's nothing but pettiness. You can't find anything but pettiness in them.
Well, who are we, though, as Americans? Because I'm with you. And I, like I said, I did not want to be misinterpreted when I said earlier, I'm not complacent. I know you weren't intimating that I was complacent, but, I mean, I wasn't referring to the federal election. I was mostly referring to things that are happening in between. Because, remember, we have a whole cadre of congressmen who have been compromised. You know, they decided to go to Russia over the 4th of July holiday. When they could have been home cooking Kaneka.
Damn right. Because that's before the factory shut down.
See? And by the way, I have to say,
are you getting Kaneka again yet? Are you getting it again yet?
I am. And let me tell you, and this is what I'm bringing this up, because I got a day, I don't have to see what's going on, but I've cleaned off the grill. I've done it twice so far, but that last batch of Kaneka I cooked was the best yet. And all I did, honest to God, all I did was put it in the back and just let it low and slow, and then it started to baste itself, and I was looking at it, and I said to my neighbor, I said, you know, because they were already smelling it, and it was, oh, man, it was dripping on the wood. Oh, shit. That white smoke was going, oh. So then I got the potato rolls out and the good mustard, and I fixed up a couple of them, you know, for the neighbors, and we ate, and I was like, oh.
That quality mustard's everything.
Woo! I went back to the store, man. I'm telling you, this Kaneka, like, we all like Hillshire Farm. This is, you know, regular factory sausage or whatever. It's nice quality. But it's not what it used to be, but it's okay. Kaneka, come on, natural casing.
You got to figure out a way, look on Amazon, whatever. You got to get you some of that good German mustard that comes in a toothpaste tube.
I have to look for that.
Yeah,
I'm into my mustard, man. Believe me.
I got to tell you, because we had to shift over to a little food porn before we wrapped up, and I had another note from Jude. You know, I was talking about, you know, imagining Portland as this place with a cloud of patchouli smoke over it.
Right.
and I was being facetious. Jude writes and says, it's not like that at all, Bob. There's thunderous power residing in Portland, which I sense is the alignment of women. Number one is the Wall of Moms, their manifestation of 200 moms marching with locked arms 20 across down the street right next to this federal building, arriving just as night arrives. My God, Bob, remove that thought of mild chanting. It is the opposite. Please trust me. Oh, no, no, I'm not talking about mild. When, you know, when the empty paint buckets and the drumsticks comes out, or the old wooden spoons or whatever, it gets real loud real quick, and it's energizing. For Steve from New York, Jude adds, the energy from men is at a critical juncture. If I may, it's a focused energy that can be used to protect the women as we move into place. Everything is shifting quickly, and Jude will be heading back there this weekend. And our thoughts go with her. We've seen it before, Lee in New York says. The death that Trump declares is not by COVID-19 rings familiar. Remember the Central Park Five? Trump wanted them punished after they were exonerated. True.
He did.
True. And I got to tell you, I had some Kaneka brought up to me. I got two fresh packages. And my paella pan has arrived, as I said.
Oh, shit.
And I have received a kick-ass paella recipe from Gary and Gaia out in Oregon. And I'm marshaling my ingredients. And I went out to the Acorn. And yes, the paella pan fits nicely in the Acorn.
Uh-oh.
And so it will be wood fire cooked paella.
Oh.
And now I'm on a mission for some cherry stone clams, because I'm just not a mussels fan. I'm sorry. I don't want to eat a shellfish that has a beard. There's just something off putting about it. I don't know, but I'm on a mission for some cherry stone clams and some scallops and shrimp won't be hard to find. It'd probably be heretical, but I think it'd be mighty fine to simmer some whole crabs in it. You know, Maryland blue crabs.
Oh, yes. Oh. Oh. Shoot. Meat falling off the bone. Oh, man. So when the weather breaks, you'll be ready.
Oh, yeah. And I've got some vacuum sealed, still plenty good. Benton's ham.
Oh, shit. I saw some of that the other day. I just felt like, man, I felt like I was being too decadent. I was, it was like 10-something.
Oh, it's expensive because, I mean, you know, they make so little of it. What you got to do is you order it for the holidays. But it's not like you do a baked ham. This is pan frying ham. That's why I think it'll work so well in a paella.
But oh, hell
it's,
yeah.
It's real salty. I mean, because it's...
Yeah, you're going to dice it up and add it to flavor.
It is old school. Oh, and Randy in PA wants to know, what's that ballpark mustard that you can only get in Ohio? It's not that you can only get it in Ohio. I found it here, but it's called Original Stadium Mustard. And it's the mustard that... at least they used to serve in the stadium there for Indians and I guess maybe Browns games too.
Is that off brown type, the golden looking mustard?
It's more gray than brown, but it has a walloping flavor. I remember seeing it pop into Big Lots once upon a time, and I think I must have bought, you know, 8 jars.
How the hell does Big Lots get this shit that we like? I mean, it's just obscure stuff, and it's like, whoa.
Well, that's the thing. When you see it come into Big Lots, you know you're never going to see it anywhere else because they've given up on it, and Big Lots buys the Big Lots and then distributes it through their network. So I saw it, and I think that original stadium mustard I had lasted a little while. I don't know. It may still be out. I can't imagine it's not still out there. Hard for me to find.
So you've gone in there and bought a whole tray of like obscure food products.
Yes. Yes, that's what you have to do.
I thought
you thought you were the only one?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm still nursing some Indian seasoning I got. I got the masala out in the tin can straight from India. I looked at the ingredients and I looked around. I'm like, is this really what it says on the label? I said, okay. And I got the whole palette. I don't
know when you're going to get it again. Right.
Don't know. And the horseradish. See, I like mustard and horseradish mixed together, man, in the right kind.
Oh yeah.
On that.
But I laid in a whopping stock one time of olive oil. Because I mean it was giving away olive oil giveaway prices, and it was extra virgin, cold pressed. Can't remember if it was Spanish or Italian, but it was like, yeah, this is like a tenth of the price over next door in Kroger's. Gimme. Because, you know, they found olive oil that was still good in amphorae at the bottom of the Mediterranean after 2,000 years.
You got to be careful. Olive oil is like buying wine. I mean, just because they have it on the shelf doesn't mean you need to buy it.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's yeah.
And you know, let me say this, just from my experience, like if you're in a strange supermarket you're visiting and you have to pick up ingredients, Pompeii.
It's
not bad.
No, it's perfectly serviceable.
It's perfectly serviceable.
It's not sipping olive oil, but it's, yeah.
You know, and of course, Trader Joe's, man, that presidential brand. I guess I have to send you, I have some packing material now. I might have to send you a quart of that. But you know, I got spoiled in Philadelphia, man, because of just where it is. For years on end, $9.99, like ShopRite, the can sale, like cold pressed straight from Italy olive oil for a 101-ounce can.
Whoa.
Yeah. It, you know, and then they kill you because then 2 weeks later it go on sale again and it might be $8.99 for the really good, like it smells fruity. See, olive oil is a big. You got to be careful when you buy olive oil because it's like a there's a black market out there. It, you know what they call olive oil sometimes. Don't buy any olive oil from Dollar Tree. Don't do it.
No,
not olive oil. It's you don't know what that might be.
And yeah, I heard a segment way back in the winter on maybe it was Splendid Table about how. Yep. One of the biggest areas that's rife with fraud and ripoffs is oil and spices.
Yes, it is. I heard it too, and it's I heard it on other places.
You buy that generic can of ground black pepper, and it's mostly pencil shavings or some shit. Yeah,
it's pencil shit, right? And that assorted Italian seasoning that's really dirt cheap. Yeah, because it's like dirt.
Yeah, it's not assorted, it's sorted, S-O-R-D-I-D.
Sorted.
Oh, and the other thing I found out, my never-yet-used brand-new hand-hammered wok also fits perfectly into the into the diameter of the acorn.
Wait a minute. How the fuck did you wait till the end of the program to say that? Wait a minute. Are
it just
you fucking,
happens.
Wait a minute. Back the fuck up, Miss. No, seriously. Are you telling me that you have a wok that will fit over what is essentially a fire hole on your acorn?
Yes,
you
I do. Yes, I do. I can run that sucker up to 700 degrees and woo!
Man, this is going to be a crowded. All right. That's it. So you never should have told me that. That's terrible. You never should. Ugh.
And you know, I'm playing with all these ideas because I am hell bent on having the horn in next June.
Man, you got this shit now. You got the flat griddle in the fire hole.
I mean, depending on how, I may have to buy another acorn just to do all that because you know brisket and you got to do some pulled pork and you got to do some ribs, got to do some chicken, you know. And then you know use the fire hole of the acorn for some sort of vegan stir fry for folks that want some vegetarian fare.
When everybody's hungover in the morning,
got to be some of that. Right? Got to make some ass kicking smoked salmon because man, that Brother Deacon Asa changed my world with that smoked salmon.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that.
Yeah, I mean took all the fishy nasty out of it. and just left this wonderful, flaky, flavorful. Woo.
You know what? I'm telling you, man, I think people can live on bagels and lox and orange juice. You got bread, cheese, you got your protein.
Well, see, I bought it. That's the other thing. I haven't done beer can chicken this summer, so I came up with an idea. I'm going to, I saw some Valencia oranges in the Wiggling Pig. And, you know, they're your best juice and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna juice me some Valencia oranges. And and I'm going to put it in a pan on the griddle and let it reduce a little bit with some pineapple juice in it. Till it's a little thick-like. And I'm gonna paint me a chicken with it.
Oh, that orange glazed chicken.
And then I'm going to sprinkle my Caribbean jerk seasoning all over it so it'll stick to the chicken real good.
And so you're making your own mojo, basically.
And then I'm gonna put it on the beer can and smoke that little bad boy. I was thinking, don't have access.
All right, what time will that be ready?
Yeah,
what time?
Yeah, that's this weekend if it don't rain.
You're talking heresy, not heresy, but be careful who you tell that to.
Maybe crumble some of those little chili peppers along there with the jerk seasoning just to raise the heat a little bit.
You have to have some rice on the side.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, we're... Mm.
Yeah, hack that chicken up and lay it across the rice with maybe some pan drippings or something and... Ooh! Leave the skin on to flavor the rice.
Got to. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to flavor that rice.
Does that sound workable?
Better than workable. That sounds big. I'm just thinking about your utensils now, because then, see, I didn't know you had the real wok, that low-carbon steel hand-to-hand. You could season that up like a cast-iron skillet.
Yes, you can. The paella pan is from Spain, and you can season it up too, because it's carbon steel.
And you know what? I don't even know if you're gonna have a program anymore. We're not gonna hear from you. Shit.
I have had to be chased into the studio a couple of times in the last 2 weeks.
That's great news, man. Jesus.
Yeah, Randy reminded me to use peanut oil in the wok.
Right, that's a high temperature oil.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm liking it. I'm saving my good. I only buy good bacon now, and the grease. I save that bacon grease, man. It just comes in handy.
Sure it does.
I mean, that's flavor, and see, I like turkey burgers, right? But I got a way. I take the gamey taste out of it. You don't even know it's not beef, and I add my own fat to it. You know, because it's really too dry. You have to add some oil to it. 80-20 is the best way to cook that type of cut of meat, you know, any kind of ground meat, I think. You know, it has to be oiled a little bit.
Yeah, that 90-10 ground beef you buy, it's so damned expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make a burger worth a damn.
Nope. It's going to crumble and it won't taste right. It's fat carries flavor. That's the whole thing. But, man, this is the food show. Yeah, Jesus Christ. I think I've gained a couple pounds. Wow. I forgot what I was going to say, man. I'm so happy. Jeez, this setup, man, is getting better. So do you have the little scoop? They make a scoop, especially for that rounded wok. It's kind of a, it's
yeah, like
everything.
The metal ladle basket with the bamboo handle?
Yeah.
Yeah, for pulling out fried stuff? Yeah, I got that.
You got that? And you got the thing to move.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That wok, man, it's something to that wok. I remember my first wok in the 80s, and I was probably in my young 20s. I was like, well, I'm gonna do this. And, you know.
And the world changed. Right,
the world changed. I mean, I followed the instructions, okay.
There's something to be said for being civilized so long that the rest of our ancestors were still, they were civilized when the rest of our ancestors were fighting with the buzzards for what the wolves didn't want.
Shoot. When you do your first meal right with a wok, there's a certain feeling you get. You got your, you know, your nice apportionment of meat.
Well, Well, see, that's one of the things on the list, Todd, is I still have a supply of Szechuan peppercorns.
And you need some, man. I got the hookup.
My goodness gracious, I'm gonna open some sinuses. You know, some Szechuan hot pot.
That Trader Joe's has that shit in the grinder, man. And when you grind that shit, you have to put on.
They got it in a grinder.
They got in a grinder. You have to really mask up. You can't breathe that shit in. I'm just saying, yes, and it's no joke. That shit is no. You know, don't breathe it in. And let me say this: there's a place in the world for that old timey Coleman ground the dry mustard powder.
Sure.
Now let me say this: I'm always saying this because I gave this to an 80-year-old woman, and she was like a crackhead begging me for more. I made potato salad last night with the little tiny potatoes with the red skin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was the best, and I took my time and I chopped up the celery really fine. Oh, that potato salad, man. Oh,
yeah, see, I still haven't had my potato salad this summer. That's got to happen. And I'm lucky. Over across the river, we've still got a Ben Franklin Five and Dime.
Yo, with the key? With the master key? Oh, shit.
And they stock all these Amish bulk spices for a third of what you pay for a McCormick's can.
How you happen? I haven't even heard anybody mention Ben Franklin. I can see the sign right now. They're all the same. The first place I saw them was around Pittsburgh, then Oil City, up in Venango County.
It's got a squeaky wood floor like an old hardware store.
It's an old and they have, it's like a Woolworths, but it's Ben Franklin.
And they sell fresh popcorn at the counter. You want some popcorn? They got one of those the roasted nut warmers there. Yeah, quit it. You can get those warm, oily cashews.
Oh man, stop with the cashews now. Come on.
Yeah.
That'll spoil my dinner, man. Don't start with the cashews. Oh man, Jesus. Well, this food thing, man. I can't believe you got the fire hole, man. You got the wok. Oh my God.
And it's perfect because the ears that hold the smoker stone. You know the heat deflector.
Right.
That wok sits down against those perfectly.
So it's almost like a cat, like a safety.
It's almost like design.
It just fits. See, that was meant to be.
That's a cowbell for Jeremy. Jeremy just said, Todd, stop telling us how you make 80-year-old ladies beg like crack whores. No, and Lou said Todd's on fire tonight. That was a little bit earlier. Albert said if your painted jerk chicken turns out good, please send a written recipe. Tell Todd to try making popcorn with bacon grease. Whoa.
Oh. Ooh, I never thought about that.
That sounds really naughty.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you for the comments. I'm just being me, and Bob's being himself, and things happen. But back to the seasoning. I remember what you said about, you know, Gaia by Goya, right? But there is an alternative brand that I've been giving my business to. It's called Badia, B-A-D-I-A. And they make, and it's even called the same stuff. They got complete saison. They have the mojo. And you don't have to deal with Goya if you don't want it.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, and I've got my last little packet of Saison Goya, and hopefully I'll be able to find another brand somewhere.
This limited food thing, man, it's hard. It took me years to get adjusted to it.
it is. It's just crazy. I mean,
well, limited in some ways, unlimited in another. I mean, there's stuff you can get that. Oh, and one of the things that did wonderfully happen is I got 3 12 packs of Grapeco grape soda brought up when my family came up along with the Kaneka. And so I'm going to, and this is, you know, for hot weather time of year, this is going to sound crazy, but it's delightful. A really good quality grape soda. Okay. My favorite's Grapeco. Buffalo Rock bottling out of Birmingham. You put a couple of scoops of good orange sherbet in a glass. Well, you pour a little bit of grape soda in first. Put the orange sherbet on it, and then pour a little bit more grape soda on it. And it makes a freeze. And since it's sherbet, it's not all, milky or creamy.
Sherbet's fruity, yeah.
And, but you got that, grape soda fizz, and you got that orange sherbet ice. It's perfect for this time of year. And then, of course, as Randy reminds me, I also have, because I've got it sitting in place. I've got my fun Penzi spices to play with too.
Mm-hmm.
Jude says popcorn meeting bacon recipe outcome.
I'm already plotting on that. I can see
smiling as I type a visit to a cardiologist. Yeah, but worth it.
Look, the way things are going now, you better eat it now before it's illegal.
There's a pandemic on. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may.
We're still foraging. I'm still foraging. And if I'm not, look, I'm going to keep it up, man. I'm going to be out depressing all the time. I feel sorry for people who don't know how to grow any food. And it may come to that. So I'm saving all my bell pepper seeds. I know that much. Oh, my God. I still can't get over you in this. Oh, my God, the wok is perfectly in the acorn cavity.
I just, I was looking at it one. It was a year ago, and I was thinking, this has potential. And then this thing sort of fell in my lap.
See, are you going to get some bricks? Have someone donate some bricks so you can have, like, a little hard surface, or are you going to set up a wood? I don't know what you have. I don't know.
Well, there's two different ways. I mean, I've got that ceramic smoker deflector, and that thing gets hotter than the hubs of hell. So I could go that way, or I could go direct heat. And if you think about your good Chinese restaurants with those high pressure propane valves,
yeah,
I mean that's direct heat onto the bottom of that steel.
Well, that's what the wok is for. When the food is mostly cooked, you put it up on the shoulder of the wok, and it stays warm there. It's cooked the next ingredient. And then when it's all done, because otherwise you got soup.
Wait a minute. Otherwise you got soup.
That comes from the professionals. I told you the story when I worked at the 4 or 5-star restaurant, French restaurant. And they explained to me, like, things have layers. You just can't, if you throw everything together, it's just soup. You have to cook some things and you take it out of the pan. And
I'm a year on and I'm still remembering the awesome experience I had in Chinatown in Philly last year. Oh, God, it was so good.
Almost like being OP. Isn't it? People don't want to. They got this shit right out on the sidewalk, man. I mean, I'm gonna buy the tofu in bulk, and they got these Chinese vegetables real cheap. I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry, man.
No. You're doing it to me. But hey, we're a little over time. I got to get out of here, Todd. You have yourself a good evening, okay, my friend.
You too. Take care.
All right. Stay cool. Bye now.
Bye now.
That's our buddy Todd, sweltering away down in South Carolina, Stan, while we've got. A little bit of cooling going on here. So tomorrow looks like we will be looking for a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle. We will be at 5:40. 5:40 to finish, but thanks to Jeremy and thanks to Gary for jumping in this evening. Thank you so very kindly. Thanks to all of you with your subscriptions, you know, PayPal, Podbean, a la carte combination of the above, for keeping this program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Hey, remember, the best place to listen to Malloy is at HeadOn.live, and he'll be along here in about 35 minutes. So stick around, stay in the chat room, hang out, talk, enjoy, because Malloy has been on fire of late. Of course, Malloy's always on fire, but sometimes it seems like we need him more than others. And this is one of those more times. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Remember, you can use the Amazon app if you're going to order stuff from Amazon. Use the Amazon app and use smile.amazon.com, and that gives 0.5% of the proceeds of your sale to Cold River Mountain Watch when you nominate them as the beneficiary of your philanthropy. It's a huge help for a grassroots organization that needs it. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And please, as this grows worse, stay safe. Stay home if you can. If you have to go out, wear your mask, wear your gloves, social distance. Watch out for these unmasked idiots hooting about the Constitution and the HIPAA and the ADA and the OSHA and Trump. And if one of them gets near you, avoid them like the plague. Because, you see, they are. Later, y'all.